Good morning, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. Triple Play Thursday here. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And we're going to be talking about nicknames, how each state got a nickname, and lots of other cool stuff. And right after the break, Rich Coase is going to join us, the one and only Sven Gulli. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagrew. Dan, how are you?
Good, Nick. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Excited to talk to Rich. This is his busy time of year.
Absolutely.
He's making tons of appearances, and a special one that will be very near where we are right now.
It's very exciting.
Very, very cool. So we'll talk with Sven Gulli. It's October, so we've got to talk with Sven Gulli. That's just a must. So Dan's here. He's producing. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
Hey, good morning, sir. Doing well. Happy Thursday.
It is Thursday. And yeah, and you're in the newsroom all morning long. So there you go. We got Vic, we got Dan, we got me, we got you. 312-981-7200 for Triple Play Thursday for your requests or talk and text. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected here on the show is our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. facebook.com/Nick D Show. And download our podcasts. They're free. You can get them at iTunes or anywhere you get podcasts. And every second of each show is podcast and available. It'll be sent to you automatically. It's free, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. All right, let's take a break so we can get Rich Coase in here right after this.
Calling all stations. Clear the air lanes. Clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in the downtown Chicago. We're 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Right now, I want to welcome you. You know that theme. That theme means it's 7 p.m. Central Time in Chicago. This is the busiest time of year for Sven Gulli and Rich Coase, a.k.a. Sven Gulli. And we wanted to catch up with Rich and tell you all about the places where you can see him and get your picture taken and get an autograph and all kinds of really cool stuff. It's a very busy time of year in October for Rich, and we always love it when we have Rich on. Check out SvenGulli.com for all the info, and we're going to tell you all about the appearances, and let's get Rich back on the show. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Nick. How are you? Is the Illinois nickname the State of Confusion?
At this point, yes.
Yeah. I was just wondering. Okay, cool.
How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing okay. And you?
I'm fine. I am. You've got a very busy schedule this month.
Yeah, it's pretty much become a yearly thing that every October, actually starting in September is now most of the time. That begins what we call our Halloween season public appearance tour.
Yeah,
and there's certainly a lot going on.
Well, there is, and we're going to get to all of that. And particularly, I'm very excited about one thing that involves you and Jim preceding my show.
That's right. Should we talk about that now, or do you want to wait?
Let's hold off on that, because when I read all the appearances and stuff that you're doing, I was like, okay, this is awesome. And then I was like, oh, this is completely fantastic. That you're gonna be my lead in, which is fantastic.
I'm gonna be like your opening act.
It's gonna be great. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's what we call a tease in the business.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Rich. Let's talk a little bit about the past couple of shows that you did. The creature. You did a couple of creature movies in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. We have like the last two thirds of the Gilman trilogy, as we call it. And I've always felt that the third one, The Creature Walks Among Us, is the one that people kind of don't feel comfortable with. Because, you know, you're used to the creature being in the water and all that when he's been converted into a air-breathing land animal. And also, I've noticed he really bulked up in two.
Yeah.
You know, usually he seems pretty streamlined so he can swim through the water. And, you know, he's kind of like, you know, got a professional wrestler build.
Yeah.
In that third movie.
And it's weird to see him in clothes, too.
Yeah, and he's wearing, like, you know, almost like hospital scrubs
right.
or something.
Right.
Although they're saying that, oh, they were made from, you know, some sails that they had on the ship that they were on. It's like,
right.
yeah, and who was the great tailor that decided they could make those
yeah.
into a fine outfit for him?
It is a weird movie. I guess I had forgotten how weird it is, but it's a strange one. And, boy, you know, some of the lead characters are jerks.
Yeah, that's the one thing. You get the feeling that, you know, here he is dwelling among the humans, and it's like almost every human is an idiot
yeah.
that you don't like.
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to like the humans because, oh, the creature is so terrible? And
yeah.
actually you end up really having a lot of sympathy for the creature in
yeah,
that one.
Absolutely. Well, you know, of course, you have some history with the Revenge of the Creature.
Indeed I do.
And,
yes.
you know, it was such a long time ago, but people still hang on to it. And I know that that's the truth. This was 84 when you did that?
I think that's about right, yeah.
1984,
and I was on WFLD, and it was one of those things that was like, you know, a sort of fad around the country. There was somebody who decided they could market having the Creature from the Black Lagoon's sequel in 3D shown around the country on different stations.
Yeah.
And in each market, they'd assign, you know, certain stores or that would be the ones that would sell the 3D glasses.
Right.
And the problem was that, first of all, the way that you set up your TV to get the 3D was, and this was in the old days, and I know I've told this story before.
Yeah.
But in those days, you remember all your controls for, you know, fine-tuning your TV were in the back of the television.
Right, right, right.
And so you were supposed to set your TV, turn one of the things, and I can't remember if it was contrast or whatever, until both sides of the screen were like the same luminance or match. And the thing is, you know, you're behind the TV. So you're turning it, and, you know, Uncle Joe is sitting in front of it going, no, they don't match yet.
Yeah.
And Aunt Margaret's going, yes, they do. They're fine. It's okay there. And he's going, no, turn it some more. And so it wasn't an easy thing for anybody to set up, quite honestly.
Yeah. And so it didn't quite work. And it was 7-Eleven where we got the
It was actually, yeah, 7-Eleven and Dominick's.
Oh, okay. Because I got mine from 7-Eleven.
Well, see, and did they work any better?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
I remember one fish kind of being in 3D. That was a
yeah. There were a few times when the fish that were swimming, you know, towards the foreground of the camera, really worked really well. But and also just the way it was publicized, you know, there were some people that were thinking, you know, it was going to be so realistic. And I know I say this all the time. They thought that they were going to actually end up with seaweed in their living room or something. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it there were a bunch of behind-the-scenes problems, one being that, you know, how whenever you made a tape dub back in those old days, it would lose some of the quality of the original.
Right.
And they were worried about the commercials not running at the right time and everything, so they dubbed the movie with the commercials onto tape.
Oh, wow.
Thereby, you know, taking it a step down in quality.
Yeah.
And I've always been told that there was also a problem with the transmitter that night, and it was not working at 100%. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, either way, but it was. But you of course acknowledged it a week ago Saturday at the top of the show.
yeah. I felt it's only, you know, because I know people are going to say, wasn't that the one?
Yeah.
Where? And it's like, yeah, that was the one.
But also known as with a great one scene from Clint Eastwood, the wacky rat scene.
Yes, which, you know, is so silly. It's almost as big a starring role for him as his role in Tarantula,
right.
Where he's a fighter pilot and he's got on this, you know, full helmet and everything, and you can barely tell it's him.
Yeah.
But yes, he's confused because, well, hey, wait, one of the rats is missing.
Yeah. it's in his pocket. Uh-oh.
And of course, let's all ask, and how did it get in his pocket?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It was an experiment. That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I watch your show every week, Rich. You know that, and
I do. And thank you for doing that.
And it's the best. And tell us about what's coming up on Saturday.
This Saturday is pretty cool. This is one we've never run before on our show. It's called Return of the Vampire, and it's got Bela Lugosi as a vampire. And the story behind it is that supposedly, this was not done by Universal, it was done by Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And Columbia actually intended it to be a sequel to Bela's original Dracula. However, again, you know, don't people do research on these things?
Yeah.
Universal had the rights to the Dracula character. So instead, they end up calling the vampire Armin Tesla. But in watching it, you know, just think, keep in mind, you know, this could be Dracula, and it does make sense.
Yeah.
And it's cool because he's got like a werewolf assistant. And there are a lot of things in it. You know, I think I mentioned them during the show, but I'll mention a couple things here. This vampire, the reason Armin Tesla became a vampire was because he was so obsessed with them that he became one.
Oh, wow.
Which is a little different
yeah.
from, you know, the usual vampire lore.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And his werewolf pal there becomes a werewolf because he, you know, more or less curses him. And it has nothing to do with full moons.
That's weird. You know, this is a movie that I'm sure I've probably seen in my youth.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it's one I probably, because I didn't, when the promo came up last week, when I was watching your show and the promo came up, I was like, what's that one? You know, because I was trying to remember it. And so I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about watching it on Saturday. It'd be like a whole new experience for me.
Yeah, I think people have seen a still from it with the werewolf more than they've actually seen the movie.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very, very cool. And we'll talk about what else is coming up for the next few weeks on the show. But let's start talking about you, because you're busy, man. And starting tomorrow night, you got a meet and greet at 6 o'clock at the Drury Lane Theater, Oakbrook Terrace. And you're going to meet and greet at, and then you're going to introduce Little Shop of Horrors, the musical. That's tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. First of all, it's really I've always thought it was a great musical. I think, in fact, it's kind of, you know, it's almost a few steps better than the original movie. Because, of course, the original movie was one of those Roger Corman ones that he just cranked out
yeah.
as quickly as possible and as cheaply as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that actually, yeah, the musical makes some improvements on that.
I screened it just a couple of months ago for my film club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we had the alternate ending where the plants grow like to Godzilla type proportions and kill everybody and blow up the world. And
really, you had that?
Yeah, we had the alternate.
Oh,
yeah, we showed it on the big screen at the Rosemont at Rosemont 18, and we had a huge
cool.
turnout. And that's a great. It really is a great musical. The songs are great. It's really terrific.
And you know, and again, you know, you've got Rick Moranis, and he's terrific in it.
Yeah.
And I always really, really liked it a lot. And Steve Martin is just hilarious.
He is completely. So they always do good work at Drury Lane, always.
Most definitely, yeah.
So you're going to be out there at 6 o'clock. People can come and say hi to you, and then you're going to introduce the musical.
Yeah, and one thing that, you know, we do want to stress is you do have to have a ticket for the musical in order to come and meet me there.
All right. You're going to be inside the theater, so yes, you have to have the ticket for the meeting.
Yes. Yeah, I won't be out on the sidewalk, I don't think. At least from what I've heard so far.
Right. And then on Sunday, this Sunday the 7th, this is the big one, right? This is the one that that everybody loves, and it's Berwyn, so.
You bet. Yeah. Berwyn, it's the 50th anniversary of the Hobie Parade. Now, Hobie is the Czech word for mushroom.
Yes.
And it's more or less there's a whole Hobie Fest that goes on, you know, for a couple days before the parade. And it's basically, you know, kind of a fall festival when hunters or whoever it is, I guess hunters, mushroom hunters,
right,
ooh,
right.
The deadliest of all prey, that, you know, they'd go out and harvest mushrooms in the fall. And so this is, you know, kind of a celebration of that. And it's a lot of fun. They have vendors out on the street, and they do sell mushrooms, you know, tasty little mushroom treats. And they have, you know, different vendors out there and everything. And it's always a lot of fun. And it's so cool. You know, right down Cermak Road, going from Cicero into Berwyn. And the turnout is always amazing. Mm. And I'm sure this being the 50th year, it's going to be a real huge turnout.
Well, it kicks off. The parade kicks off at noon. From Cermak and 34th in Cicero, and you will be on hand as you. How many years have you gone to this one?
It's been on and off, and I mean, I know the original Svengoolie, Jerry G. Bishop, was in it a couple times,
mm-hmm.
And I've been in it. I want to say now this is probably not 50th time, but
no.
like Probably the 6th or 7th,
yeah.
I want to say.
Okay, great. And so that's going to be on Sunday afternoon. So this weekend, already Rich is busy. Friday night, he'll be at Drury Lane, Oakbrook Terrace, 6 o'clock for a meet and greet, and then he'll introduce a little Shop of Horrors. And then Sunday at the parade downtown, the Hobie Parade on Cermak Road in Berwyn, and Sven will be there. Rich, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Rich Coase is with us. He's the best. He is Sven Gulli. Check out SvenGulli.com. And we're going to go through all of these appearances and things. But, you know, we have a link to on our Facebook page for all this stuff. And if you go to SvenGulli.com, you can always check out the appearance page where he's going to be. So we're going to talk more with Rich Coase right after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, they did the stomp. Sven Gulli stomp. They did the stomp. Sven Gulli stomp. When the mood is full. Now everybody's doing the Sven Gulli stomp. Well, I went to a party last Saturday night. I walked into the room, it was an eerie sight. Everybody dressed like one sheep.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. That's the stomp, the Sven Gulli stomp, everybody. You gotta love that. And, we're talking with Rich Coase, aka Sven Gulli. Check out SvenGulli.com. You can watch him every Saturday night at 7 p.m. on MeTV. And then they repeat it on the U on Sundays at 11, or Saturdays at 11, a.m. That's where you can see Rich. And you can see him live at a bunch of, appearances for the month of October, which is the busiest month for Sven. And let's bring Rich back. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you so much. And Nick, did you get a chance to see that Mad Magazine yet?
I have not. I saw it online. I saw the posting and everything online, but I have not seen the magazine itself. How'd that tell everybody about it?
I'm just blown away by this. To make a long story longer, at one of my appearances at C2E2, waiting in line to see me was Dan DiDio, who is the publisher of DC Comics. Mm. And it turns out he's a big, big fan of the show. And we talked a few times, and he said, you know, we're going to have Mad Magazine now. DC is going to publish it. He said, it seems like a natural thing for you to do something with that. And I thought, well, you know, geez, I love Mad Magazine. Yeah. I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
And in the previous issue, in a little one of the drawings by the great Sergio Aragonés,
yes,
he kind of sketched me in the background
right.
of the crowd thing. But for this month, they said for the Halloween month, they wanted to do a full-blown story. And it's there in beautiful living color. And it's funny because they didn't make up a name for me. It's not like I'm, you know, Sven Goofy or something.
Right.
It is Sven Gulli.
Yeah.
But it's got a great story where I'm trying to show the movie, and it keeps kind of getting messed up with regular MeTV shows. And in the story, it's not MeTV, it's MeTV. But they did an incredible job. Writer was Ian Boothby, and the artist is, oh, geez, I'm blanking out on him now. And I apologize for that. He's absolutely perfect. He's like, it reminds me of the stuff that used to be in the original 50s Mad Magazine stuff, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely terrific stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just so flattered, you know. It's like being in this. Actually, I got a little congratulatory email from Mark Hamill.
And oh,
he
wow.
said. He said, you know, he said, I always remember the first time that they drew me in Mad Magazine, and that was when I felt like I had really made it.
Yeah.
and it's
a big, by the way, is it Tom Richmond?
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, Tom Richmond.
A tremendous artist, truly one of the best that they've got.
Yeah.
And his stuff is so comparable to, like, the stuff by Jack Davis and the old original Gang of Idiots, as they were called.
I grew up, of course, reading Mad Magazine, and one of my returning guests on the show, who is one of my favorite people, Dick DiBartolo, has been on the show many, many times, and he is not only responsible for some of the seminal stuff that I read when I was a kid in Mad Magazine, but, you know, he created Dumb Dora. And he created Old Man Periwinkle. He wrote the questions for Match Game in those days.
Right. Yeah.
And he's a great guy. And he does like reports on ABC News for gadgets and things. He's like a tech guy.
Right. Yes, I've seen him many times.
And
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's a regular on the show. And I remember the first time I ever had him on the show, I was really nervous because this guy, you know, Mad Magazine and Match Game. I mean, come
on. Right. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Rich. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's out. I know regular subscribers have already gotten theirs, but it may not actually be available in on the newsstands or whatever until around the 9th, I think.
Okay. All right. Well,
you can tell which one it is because the cover has Alfred E. Newman as the twins from The Shining.
That's the cover. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, very cool. We'll all get a copy of that Mad Magazine when it comes out. All right, that's fantastic. All right, and let's see, on Saturday, the 13th, a week from this Saturday, you'll be at the Fantasy Costume. This is another one that you do pretty frequently. That's at 4065 North Milwaukee, and it's the best costume shop in the city. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's the one that everybody goes to when you really want to, no matter what you're going to be for Halloween.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to find the perfect costume stuff and all the accessories and everything else. The store is like a full city block.
Right.
And just incredible. And last year we were there not only for Halloween, but we also did Santa Claus there in December and had a great turnout. Again, it was so nice that people showed up there. And, that's don't know if I should reveal this, but that's where my new hair came from.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, if you notice that my hair looks more lustrous on the show, it's because Fantasy Costumes helped us out with it.
That's fantastic. That's your in my neck of the woods there, Rich.
Oh, well, and I remember you were going to drop by last time with your mom and dad.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that again because we go to the movies every Saturday.
If you come through there, make sure you try to get Jim Roach's attention there to make sure you don't have to stand in line and wait around.
I appreciate that. And so that's Saturday the 13th, and that's from 2 to 4 p.m. at Fantasy Costumes, 4065 North Milwaukee in Chicago. And you can come get your get any of your Halloween costume needs and then meet Rich and get an autograph and take a picture. 2 to 4 p.m. next Saturday at Fantasy Costumes near Six Corners right there in Chicago. And then Friday the 19th, Haunting in Hammond, that's in downtown Hammond, Indiana. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I previously was at another event in Hammond, and they held it out in a park, and I just remember that they had so many people lined up for me that I had to stay and sign for another hour and a half, longer than it was originally planned.
Yeah, wow.
But this one, definitely, we're keeping it down to 2 hours. But it's a big thing right in downtown Hammond, right out in the open, a big Halloween festival. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this. Again, it's vendors and people in costumes and food, and it's just a great time.
There you go. So that's the Haunting in Hammond, and that would be on Friday the 19th, and you'll be there from 4 to 6 p.m., 4 to 6 p.m., and that's in downtown Hammond, Indiana. Rich, can you hang on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on a second. Rich Coase is with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got more events to talk about, more appearances, and then we'll do a little preview of some of the stuff that's coming up on the show. It's always great to have Rich Coase here. Svengoolie.com is the website, and we'll have more right after this.
He was a famous trumpet man on Transylvania way. He came to seek his fortune in the USA. He tried to get gigs in this land and ended up as a sideman in a polka band. He plays at weddings for the scale musicians be. He's the boogie woogie boogie man of Berwyn, you see.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran coming up at 6 with his morning drive. And I will be joining Steve for my weekly Thursday visit at 6:20. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, that theme there you heard is from Svengoolie and Rich Coase. Svengoolie himself is with us. Check out Svengoolie.com. Busy month for him. We're telling you about all the places where you can see and meet Rich. And we'll get right back into it. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad you're keeping track of all these appearances, too, because at this point I get kind of confused about when am I supposed to be where?
Right.
What?
Yeah, I can understand, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Hey, before we get back to that, I want to mention Doug's daughter. I want to give a shout-out to Doug's daughter, who appeared on the show Saturday playing saxophone. She's great.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a musical family. Doug Scharf, who I went to high school with, and my longtime friend, who has always done all the music for the show with me. His daughter is, like her dad, a musician, a terrific saxophone player, and she came on to do a sax solo, and we've gotten so many great comments about it. It's so cool. I'm trying to talk them into somewhere down the line doing a duet on something.
Yeah, that would be. She was terrific. It was just. So much fun to see. That was great. I just wanted to mention her.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. She did such a great job. Yeah. So we're looking forward to having her back again.
Okay, now, Saturday the 20th. This is a real big one. Nightmare on Chicago Street in Elgin. It's this great festival, and there's a lot of stuff happening that night. Tell everybody about that one.
Well, every year they do this, and it's a huge success. I think last year they had just thousands and thousands of people, so many people that this year they're actually going to have to cap the amount of people that show up, because every year it's gotten bigger and bigger. And the basic idea of it is that there's been some sort of a strange, you know, incident that has caused a zombie outbreak, and
right.
The only safe area is the middle of the city there on Chicago Street. And that's the safe zone, and although, you know, zombies do wander in occasionally, so you got to be careful.
Yeah.
The idea this year, which is kind of fun, is that this zombie outbreak has occurred on the weekend of the homecoming event. So it's going to be like, you know, prom time with the zombies. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be on stage, you know, presenting the king and queen of the prom of the zombies.
Yeah.
And we have a very, very special guest. They after last year, you know, they played the Svengoolie Stomp and everybody sang along with it, and it was cool. This year, they're bringing in the one and only Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, and he and I are going to perform the song live up on stage.
That's so cool. That is so,
it really
so
is.
Cool.
Freddie is just amazing. A little while ago, he was at the Arcata Theater.
Right.
And I'm standing in the wings watching him because he invited me to come up on stage with him. And his voice is still just pristine and perfect.
Yeah.
And hearing him do those songs live was just, you know, it brought chills down my spine.
Yeah.
He's a terrific performer and just such a sweet, nice guy.
Yeah.
It's so great he's going to be here for this, and I think he's going to really enjoy, you know, seeing all this zombie pageantry around
right,
him.
Right,
because he's another guy who watches the show every week.
That's great. Yeah, so formal zombies. That's going to be
as formal as zombies get, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's Nightmare on Chicago Street in Elgin. It's going to be packed, so make some plans. That's going to be on the 20th, Saturday the 20th. And then the following Saturday, you're going to be at the Great Volo Auto Museum in Volo, Illinois. Great place.
Yeah, and we always shoot some stuff that we show on the program, and those are very popular segments. People just love seeing the amazing cars and vehicles and displays there. And that's another place where every year we end up, you know, having to go over the time that we're booked for, because so many people show up. It's such a great place because you can spend the whole day there, you know, not just see me, but you can see all the cars and the car museum. There's buildings and buildings of, you know, antiques and collectibles and stuff. It's a real fun place, and it's always great to be there because, again, you know, still, Nick, I tell you, I'm just amazed when so many people turn out to see me, and it just flatters the hell out of me.
Well,
and I always look forward to going to Volo.
Yeah, people love you, Rich. You know that, and you deserve it. So that's going to be from noon to two. You're doing double duty on that day, on the 27th. Then you're going to be out in Des Plaines at the Reverse Casino. You did this last year, too, right?
Yeah, and it was pretty much a hit, I guess. So I'm going to be back there in their Cube nightclub there.
Yeah.
And I start at 11 o'clock. We'll be signing autographs again and taking pictures with everybody. Last year, there's some great costumes, and we did have a costume contest up on stage with some incredible stuff. The lady who won was in a complete outfit that was like Cher doing her, you know, Indian princess thing with the big white feathers and everything.
Yeah.
Just outstanding and very impressive. And again, a great fun time there. There are rules there that people need to make sure they check on, because it being a casino, they don't want people wearing masks or, you know, covering their faces in any way.
Oh, okay.
So when you go to their website, you'll find the rules there just to make sure that, you know, we don't want anybody turned away because they are not, appropriate.
Right, exactly. And that'll be from 11 to 1 late night for you, Rich.
Yeah, see, that happens now. Wait, when am I talking to you?
No, yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of late nights, and this is the, I'm so excited about this. On Monday, the 29th, Monday night into Tuesday morning, that would, for us overnight people, it'd be Monday night into Tuesday morning, the 29th, Rich, you're going to be right down the hallway from me, because I use Studio D. And I'm kind of the only person on the station that uses this studio. And you'll be in Studio A. Tell everybody about this. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I cannot remember. I was trying to figure out the last time that I actually did an air shift at WGN, because I used to do fill-in every so often.
Yeah.
I want to say it probably has not been since, at the very shortest amount of time, it would have been early... No, it had to have been like the late 80s.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any sort of record for a person having filled in at that many far apart times.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say, you know, I know you haven't done a shift since I've had the gig here, and this is my 20th year with an on-air show.
And
So I know in that time you haven't done it. So it's been a while. I know that much. But you and your executive producer Jim are going to be on the air hosting what we call Nightside here on WGN.
Yeah, they're going to put us on there for 2 hours. God bless America. And, you know, for people who have been to any of our Sven appearances, Jim is, of course, the guy that helps me out with them. He walks up and down the line, you know, cracking jokes. And
he's the best. He's the best.
Everybody entertained while they're waiting in line to come and meet me. And, you know, I've been working with him for a long time, and, you know, we have a great time together. And I think that will come across on the air. I'm really looking forward to this. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I still haven't decided, you know, what I'm going to have for guests or anything yet. But we're going to work on getting a couple cool things in there. And just the fact that, you know, yeah, we'll take phone calls so I can talk to you. I know a lot of times when you and I are on, we don't necessarily take phone calls.
Right.
But we will definitely do that night. And it's going to be a real blast, I think.
Yeah. So you guys are going to be hosting that on Monday night, the 29th. And that precedes my show. So would you mind if I stopped in during the last part of the show just to say hi?
Oh, I would be more than happy to have you come in there. We may need the help by then.
Well, we usually, Dan and I usually get here around, around that time. So I'm definitely, I'll be in the building. I'll be listening. And then, like, towards the end, I'll just pop in and say hi.
That would be terrific. I'd be happy to have you there.
That's so great. It's going to be so great. I'm so excited. And then Wednesday the 31st, you will on Halloween itself, you're going to be hanging out on WGN with Bill and Wendy at 11:30 a.m. And you do that every year with Bill and Wendy, right?
Yeah, that's kind of become a tradition, too, that I'll come and visit with them and make a Halloween visit. And I always have a lot of fun with them. You know, again, those are two people that I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
I just love those guys.
They're great.
We always have a good time. So
I'm
looking forward to that, too.
All right. And then that night, this is so cool. Tell everybody what's happening on Halloween night with you, Rich.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Bulls have a game that night, and they have invited me to be there and help, you know, co-host the game and visit with all the folks there, and I'm just so excited about this. The year that was officially proclaimed, you know, my day in Illinois and the city of Chicago.
Yeah,
I was at that game, and it was funny because it was kind of, quite honestly, an afterthought. And one of the guys that they had that was like hosting the stuff on the floor had no idea who I was. He was from out of town.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was before we were seen everywhere.
Got it.
And so that was kind of funny. And this time around, I think they all know who I am.
Yeah.
And I was very, you know, very honored that they reached out to me and said, you know, hey, it's going to be, we got a game on Halloween this year. We want you to come out for it. So I'm going to have a great time there. I know that because I enjoy watching the Bulls.
And I like how you wrote, is free throw with a rubber chicken legal?
Yes. Have we gotten a ruling on that yet?
I think they would bend the rules in that case for you.
So. I'm just worried that Benny the Bull is going to, you know, be trying to outdo me with throwing chickens or something.
Yeah, let's see what happens. It'll be fun. So Sven is going to be there at the Chicago Bulls game at the United Center on Halloween night. Busy, busy month for you, Rich. And it's always fun. Now, what's coming up on the show in the next few weeks? We talked about what's happening this Saturday. What else is coming up?
We've got a few more things that haven't run in a while, one which I don't think we've ever run. The week after the Return of the Vampire, we have Cry of the Werewolf.
Oh, I love that movie.
You know that one?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes, with a lot of gypsies,
yeah.
And the lovely Nina Folk.
Yes.
Who is the gypsy girl who, in her family, it's nothing unusual to change into a werewolf.
Yeah.
So.
Very
She's
cool.
Right up there.
Very, very cool looking werewolves in that movie.
And very, very atmospheric,
yes,
too.
Yes.
It's another one of those ones that, you know, you love the black and white because it really helps sell it.
Absolutely.
So well.
I really love that movie. I'm glad you're sure. I can't wait to see that one. That's in a couple of weeks. What else is coming up?
Well, we can't get away with an October without running Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Of course.
So that's going to be coming up. We got to run that one. It's a big favorite. And people, there are some people who are always like, oh, that's more comedy than scary.
Oh.
And yeah, no, complain if you will. But it's one of our most requested movies.
Absolutely, and for good reason. I you know, I've seen it a million times, and every time you show it, I watch it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I think there's plenty of good scares in it.
Yeah.
Definitely so. And again, just the fact that that was, you know, the kind of revitalization of the monsters, as well as Abbott and Costello's career.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get, you know, Bela back as Dracula, and I think it was actually only the second time that he had truly played the Dracula character.
That's right, yeah.
And then you've got Glenn Strange as the Frankenstein monster.
Right.
And, of course, as Larry Talbot the Wolfman, you've got Lon Chaney Jr.
That's right.
And
Won't you please help me?
I'm telling you, I want to die. Okay, good. Get some Miss Clairol, whatever.
Oh man! And then what? One more. Tell us what else is coming up, and then we'll come.
One more, yeah. And it's a good one. It's one of those gimmicky William Castle movies. It's the original 13 Ghosts.
Oh, it's such a fun movie.
Yes, a haunted house, and there are, you know, 13 ghosts in
right.
it, and the whole gimmick was, and we explain it and how it worked and everything, was that you had to have a special ghost viewer when
right.
you went into the theater,
right?
And if you were afraid to see the ghost, you would look through one side of it. And then if you did want to see the ghost, you look through the other side, and they would be visible. And we explain how that worked.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we, you know, it doesn't work that way on TV. You just end up seeing the ghosts.
Oh.
But I didn't want it to be like, you know, that 3D thing again.
Right,
and,
gotcha.
You know, I didn't see the ghosts. I've been ripped off.
All right. Well, that's what's coming up on the show. And you can always check in with Svengoolie.com. And, Rich, you guys, you have a newsletter that people can subscribe to, correct?
Yeah, there's a free newsletter. If you just go to Svengoolie.com, you'll find the place you can just sign up for it. Comes out the first of every month. It gives you the entire schedule for the month of movies. And also, you know, you'll find out what the appearances are before anybody else does. You know, I tell various stories about things that have happened to me in the past month or so.
Right.
And bring up some of the Sven history and such. And we always have a photo of the month that is submitted by one of our viewers. Yeah, and it's a nice way to catch up on everything. We try to make sure that people can get it right at the first of the month, and they'll be prepared for the movies and everything.
Right. That's outstanding. Rich, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. I love you. You know that.
Well, I love you too, Nick, and I always appreciate your support and your friendship, and I'm really looking forward to being your opening act that night. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait to see you, man. It'll be Monday night, the 29th. Rich and Jim are going to be on from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. hosting Nightside right before my show. It's going to be great, and for all the information, just go to Svengoolie.com. I'll see you on the TV Saturday night at 7, Rich.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay, buddy. Take care. There you go. Svengoolie, Rich Coes. He's the best. And check out Svengoolie.com. Busy month. There are tons of places to see and meet Rich and Svengoolie and get your picture and your autograph and all kinds of cool stuff. There you go. You can't talk about anything in October without mentioning Svengoolie. All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up next here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Margaret in Bridgeport is our first Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah, Triple Play Thursday.
That's one artist, three songs, and Margaret in Bridgeport chose The Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween. We're getting close. We're only a few weeks away from Halloween. You know what? I forgot to bring out Fartula and Count Fartenstein, or Count Fartula and Fartenstein.
We are getting texts wondering where they are.
All right. Next break, I'll run back and get them. They're sitting on top of the shelf in our office, Dan, farting.
And you wonder why I don't go into that office.
That's right. I keep the door open, though. So
the office thanks you.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're back. We're going to go through how we're going to talk about the nickname of every state here that here in America. And you know who really was great at knowing what the nickname of each state was? Who's really great at it?
Who's that?
Is David Letterman.
Really?
Yeah. Letterman would always, you know, like whenever he asked where someone was from, and they would say, and he would name the nickname was.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have no idea why that piece of trivia was something that you know, he stuck with. But yeah, that's just something I remember specifically about Dave doing that. So did you have a nickname?
It's Leon.
Oh, right. Let's hear the story.
Yeah. So my friend Alyssa and I were just becoming friends. And at the time, she was also dating a guy named Lucas. And she lived...
I'm sorry. I'm just starting to remember the story.
Yeah. So she lived in a two-flat. Her parents lived on the top floor. She lived on the first floor. And so she had mentioned that she was... dating a guy named Lucas to her dad, and her dad had come down for something, ketchup or something, and I was sitting at the kitchen table. She had stepped into the bathroom, and he goes, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Dan." And he goes, "Wait, are you Leon?" And I said, he had asked me, he's like, "Are you Leon?" And I said, "No, I'm Dan." And he's just like, "I'm not gonna remember that." And then he grabbed the ketchup and left. And then, so I told the story, and Alyssa told her friends, and I became their friends. So my nickname is now Leon.
I'm not going to remember that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. it's just so funny. There's like, and where did Leon come from? Because he got the...
He thought he couldn't, he knew it was an L name.
Right.
And he thought that I was Lucas,
right,
but I wasn't.
And he just said Leon. That's so funny. And just like, I love, but my favorite part is just how dismissive it was.
Right.
Are you Leon? No, I'm Dan. I'm not going to remember that. Leaves. I think that's the best. So Leon, which is, the origin story is great.
Right, right.
Which, of course... When you tell people that you used to have a nickname and the nickname was Leon, you have to tell that story.
Sure,
because
sure.
It's not like I can say, you know, like my nickname was Nikki.
Right.
You know, well, right. That's actually part of my name. But, I mean.
And it was funny because, like, my friend Nicole just shortened it to Lee. And we would go to a lot of concerts together. And she'd be like, Lee. And I'd turn around and be like, and like the people I was standing next to be like, what the hell is going on?
That's really funny. That is really funny. I never really had a nickname. I mean, you know, I mean, I've had, you know, my name rhymes with a lot of words that aren't not flattering. So I've, I've had that, you know, that, but I've, you know, at one point someone was trying to, one of my friends was trying to get me to be called Diggy.
Oh, okay.
The last name.
Yeah.
And, so he was like, well, we can start calling you Diggy. That didn't really stick. It started out, everybody thought it was funny. And I actually thought it was kind of amusing, too. People were going, oh, look, it's Diggy. And I thought that was kind of funny. It didn't really stick, though. It fell out pretty quickly. But I will say this, you know, hey, listen, my good friend Joe, his father used to call me Tricky. Tricky, hey, Tricky. Nobody else did, but his father always called me Tricky.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I remember when because he called me Tricky for a while, and then the Run DMC song came out, and Joe would be like, look, it's your theme song. It's Tricky to rock around to rock, you know. And that was only his dad. Nobody else, none of my other friends, nobody else I knew called me Tricky. But every single time I saw his dad, Tricky! And I'm like, all right, I'll take it. We were talking about nicknames many years ago, me and Gary Lee Wright, you know, because it's a fun topic to talk about. And I go, did you ever have a nickname? And Gary Lee Wright, without hesitation, goes, Fat Man. I go, are you serious? He goes, do you think I'd make that up? I was like, that's terrible. That's terrible.
What was the origin?
He was a big dude.
He was a big dude.
Yeah.
And, but I don't consider he was a big guy, but I wouldn't call him obese by
any means. No. But maybe he was chunkier when he was, before he really sprouted. Because he's a tall guy. Gary Lee Wright's a big, I mean, he's like 6'5", right? Like 6'4", 6'5"?
I would say so, yeah.
Big guy. And he's big. I mean, he's just a big dude. And not thin, you know, but he's a big dude. So I'm thinking maybe he was shorter and he was just going through, you know, and they called him Fat Man. And I'm like, that's terrible. So we'll get into your nicknames and stuff a little bit later on. But right now we're going to talk about the nicknames of the states. And how many people know the nicknames? Because it's different than like, because, you know, the nickname of, I'm looking at the nickname of Illinois here, and there's a story behind it. I always thought that it was the Land of Lincoln. Now, that's on the license plates, right? The Land of Lincoln is on our license plates. Is it still on our license plates? I don't know. I haven't had to purchase license plates in a very, very long time.
Now, I'm trying to think if it is, it's pretty small. Because there's different variations with Lincoln's face and without.
Right.
But I'd imagine it might be in the like little lettering at the bottom that you can only see close up.
Yeah. Illinois has been known as the Prairie State. So we're known as the Prairie State. The Prairie State since at least 1842, but in recent years there's been a grassroots push to change it to the Land of Lincoln. Critics of the nickname the Prairie State argue that prairie doesn't do much to distinguish Illinois from other states with vast amounts of flat grassy land, including the Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas. The Prairie State. Yeah, Land of Lincoln is what I've always thought. Alabama is the heart of Dixie. That's its nickname. Although Alabama doesn't have an official nickname, the nickname that's most commonly used is the heart of Dixie, according to Alabama State Archives. The phrase has appeared on state automobile license plates since the 1950s. Alaska is the last frontier. Because of its great abundance of unsettled land, Alaska earned the nickname The Last Frontier. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool nickname, man. Where are you from? What state are you from? I'm from the last frontier, man. That was also a good Steven Seagal movie.
Hold on a minute now.
Actually, he did do a movie in Alaska, didn't he? Was On Deadly Ground? I think that was in Alaska. On Deadly Ground. I think. I know it was someplace cold. I just remember there was snow and...
Yes.
It's Alaska?
Yes, Alaska.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's why subconsciously I said Steven Seagal. That's one of the many Steven Seagal titles where you could just advertise it as Steven Seagal is. Steven Seagal is above the law. Is out for justice. Is on deadly ground. Is hard to kill. That's how you title a movie. Under Siege. Steven Seagal is under siege. Most of his movie titles, you could proceed with Steven Seagal is. So. Arizona is the Grand Canyon state. Why? I can't figure that one out. Arkansas, the natural state. Okay. The natural state was officially adopted as the state's nickname by the Arkansas State Legislature in 1995 after lobbying by the Arkansas Park System, which consisted of 3 national forests, 5 national parks, and 52 state parks. The natural state. Okay. California, the golden state. In fact, Eureka has been the official state motto since 1963. Golden State, and best basketball team ever.
Well, maybe second best.
Second best, right. Colorado, the Centennial State. Its nickname became the Centennial State because the territory became a state in our nation's centennial year of 1876. Centennial State, Colorado. Connecticut is the Constitution State. Delaware is the first state. Florida is the Sunshine State. Georgia is the Peach State. Hawaii, the Aloha State. I wonder why. It should be the Spam State. That's what I think. I think they should start a grassroots push to get Hawaii to be known as the Spam State. Hey, they love Spam there.
They do indeed.
I mean, I know like people are listening. No, don't call it the Spam State. That's insulting. They love Spam in Hawaii. They understand the greatness of Spam.
And they're the happiest people on earth.
Yeah. I was watching, I had the TV on in that stupid, funny you should ask, that stupid thing that Byron Allen produced, that John Kelly is the host of, rip off of Hollywood Squares. And he asked, Enrique Iglesias, not Enrique Iglesias, Gabriel Iglesias, the stand-up comedian.
Better if it was Enrique.
It would have been better. It would have been funnier, I can tell you that. Actually, I think Gabriel Iglesias is very funny. I think he's a funny dude. But they asked him, what does spam stand for? And, you know, you're supposed to answer the question, and then you have to, you know, the contestant has to agree or disagree. And he said, spicy pieces, something meat. Spicy pieces.
Animal meat?
Animal meat, something like that. And the person agreed. You know, the person was like, I agree. And it's like, no, that's not what it means. You know, what spam is.
I do not.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Spiced ham.
Ah.
Yeah. That's what spam means.
It's a good nickname for spiced ham.
It absolutely. There you go. Nice way to bring it around, man. All right. Why don't we take a break? And we're going to talk about nicknames in general. We got some great sports nicknames, and we want to hear from you guys about your nicknames and your stories, the origin story behind it. Because I don't know if your story can be beat, Dan. I don't know.
It's a pretty good one.
I don't know if the origin story of Leon can be beaten.
Although, looking at that sports list, there's some choice.
Oh, yeah.
The stories behind them are hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, in the world of sports, that's where the most nicknames are. There's no question about it. Teams and players. I mean, that's they. If you don't have a nickname and you're in sports, then there's something wrong. Especially in hockey, man. Hockey's an easy one. You could just take, like, the last name and add an R, Kaner.
Or a Y.
Taser, you know? Yeah, or a Y, exactly. Dunks, you know, if your first name is Duncan, Dunks. I'll tell you what, though, the Cat. That's a good
one.
That's a good one. And, of course, when we had him, Breadman. Hockey has a lot of good nicknames, but we'll get to the sports nicknames in a little bit. And throughout this, if you guys want to jump in with your nickname and origin stories, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Margaret in Bridgeport choosing for a Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday, yeah! To one artist, three songs. Margaret in Bridgeport is chosen from The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's Making Christmas. So technically, I do want to mention Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman is responsible for the music, Night Before Christmas. That's one of the only movies that you could watch for two different holidays.
Good point.
You know? It came out in the fall. I remember when it came out. It came out right around Halloween in 93. You know, and every time we talk about Night Before Christmas, I always want to mention that, Tim Burton didn't direct that movie. I know that, like, everybody is, it's Tim Burton, because it says Tim Burton's Night Before Christmas. It was his idea. He wrote it. Henry Selick directed that movie, and Henry Selick is a remarkable filmmaker and a great animator who would go on to do more movies. He did a movie called, Monkey Bone with Brendan Fraser that got taken away from him and recut. I like the version that was released. I think Monkey Bone's a good movie. If you ever rent the movie Monkey Bone, and nobody does, and nobody wants to see it in the theater, you should listen to his commentary track. And he's not happy. not a happy dude about what they did to the movie, about how they took it away from him and recut it. It's pretty intense. It's almost as good as Paul Thomas Anderson's commentary on the Heart 8 DVD. And he never refers to it as Heart 8, like during the entire, you know, because they took it away from him and recut it, and they retitled it. Because his title is Sydney. Then, you know, and he never refers to the movie as Heart 8. He refers to it as Sydney the entire time. The commentary never once refer. At the beginning, he explains that Heart 8's not his title, and he refers to it as Sydney for the rest of the commentary. But anyway, Nightmare Before Christmas. I enjoy that movie. I do. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going through the list of every state here and how they got their nickname and what their nicknames are. We're the Prairie State, even though I always thought we were the land of Lincoln. But technically, we're the Prairie State. And we're talking about nicknames of states. We'll get to some sports nicknames, which are hilarious. And then throughout here, we would love you to call in or to text us with your nickname or what nickname maybe you used to have and how you got it. 312-981-7200. Look at this. Here's Squat, which I'm assuming is a nickname. How you doing, Squat?
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Can you hear me all right?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, first of all, I'd like to say during the Sox games, your show got a lot of airplay. That was doubly good for me because I work at night, so always good to hear Nick's show.
So there were a lot of promos for my show.
So because we can't broadcast the game on the internet, they replayed they replayed podcasts from various shows during the day, including ours.
Oh, I see that because they can't do it on the internet. Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Well, nice. I'm glad.
Oh, that's like I always have a double dose of Nick.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you to the station for rebroadcasting our show and our podcast. That's awesome. Thank you guys.
Absolutely. Well, my nickname. It's pretty simple. I had a coach in high school. I played football. I was nervous before games and had to take a BM before the games. And that sucked from my freshman year all till now. Yeah. So
there you go. Oh man. All right. Okay. Squat.
Good to talk to you, Nick.
All right, man. Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
He participates a lot. Squat participates a lot on our themed bump mornings and participates a lot just in general. And that's fantastic. I was thinking maybe it was because he was short or something, you know? But
sure.
No, it's the actual...
Nope.
Yeah. No, it really is. It's the BM story. That's a good one, man. That's a good story. That's a good nickname, too. Hey, I think I'm going to call you Squat because you have to squat before every game. That's pretty funny. That is funny. All right. Now, Idaho. I didn't know this because I thought Idaho, without question, would be potato related. You know, like the Spud State or something like that, but it's the Gem State. The name Idaho was originally believed to be a Native American Shoshone word for Gem of the Mountain, which seemed appropriate because of the land's vast natural resources, including gemstones. Oh, all right. But Dan, don't you, when you hear Idaho, don't you think potatoes immediately? That's the first thing
absolutely.
I think of is potatoes. Gemstones, all right. Well, we all know this one, Indiana, the Hoosier State. This nickname came into general usage in the 1930s, according to the Indiana State Library, as a result of John Finley's poem, The Hoosier's Nest. A few days later, on January 8, 1833, at the Jackson Day Dinner at Indianapolis, a prominent Indianian toasted the Hoosier State of Indiana. All right. Iowa, the Hawkeye State. The nickname the Hawkeye State is believed to have come from the name of a character in James Fenimore Cooper's novel, The Last of the Mohicans, which was published in 1826. By the way, James Fenimore Cooper was part of Authors. That's why I knew that he wrote The Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, there you go.
Because I learned it from the Authors. Two men who were promoting the state pushed the name into popularity, the story goes, and the nickname was approved as official in 1838, 8 years before Iowa became a state. Because of the state's vast corn farmland, it's also occasionally known as the Corn State. Mm, okay. All right. Kansas is the Sunflower State. The native wild sunflower grows around the state and was named as its official flower in 1903. What's our official flower and our official bird? Do we know? Here in Illinois? I don't know for sure. The official flower or the official bird?
I want to say popcorn is our official snack.
Popcorn is our official snack.
I believe that got named a few years ago.
Really? It's not like hot dogs or pizza?
Flower's not coming up when I search for it on Wikipedia.
Okay.
What was the other thing you wanted to know?
Bird. Is it a cardinal? It might be a cardinal because I'm picturing drivers or not driver's license, license plates.
The Northern Cardinal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. All right, more nicknames coming up for states. We want to hear from you. If you've got a nickname, 312-981-7200 and how it happened. The news is up next. That's our triple play Thursday. Yeah, baby, triple play Thursday. Get your requests in now. It's 312-981-7200. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. Margaret in Bridgeport requesting a third song from Nightmare Before Christmas, and that's the Oogie Boogie song. All right.
Trick or treat.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What's happening here?
Open the coffin. Let me out.
Yes, they're back. Fartenstein and Count Fartula are here. Here's Fartenstein.
That one rattled my bolts.
That's right. It rattled his bolts. And here is Fartula.
Sink your teeth into that.
There you go. It's not October without the boys. And they're back.
Wasn't that shocking?
Hello, Fartenstein and Count Fartula.
That garlic gets me every time.
So these are little stuffed dolls that I purchased at Walgreens, and you squeeze their finger and they fart, and they make wacky, and they shake, like, because the fart is so strong. So here they are, Dan, see?
It's appropriate, too, that it's the shift that Adam Phillips is working on.
That's right. Adam Phillips is here. He saved Fartenstein's life. He brought him back to life.
He was actually Dr. Fartenstein.
So this is Dr. Fartenstein's creature. This is Adam Phillips' creature because he rewired him. He wasn't working. I was squeezing away on Fartenstein's finger, and he would not respond. So he was rewired, and Adam, the genius engineer here, rewired Fartenstein, added a little button, and now all I got to do is press the button, and...
Arrgh, that one got away.
See? And he works. So there you go. They're here. Everybody was starting to worry. Dan, we were getting texts and people worried about Fartenstein.
Yep.
And Count Fartula.
Angry villagers with pitchforks and torches.
That's the last thing we want, especially Fartenstein. He doesn't like angry villagers with pitchforks and torches. So, all right, they're here. It's officially Halloween season now that the boys are out. And they're stinking up the studio instead of the office. So, all right, we are talking about nicknames, and we're going through every state and their nicknames and how it happened. And we've got some sports nicknames, which are hilarious, very often very hilarious. And I want to hear from you. What are your nicknames and how did you get them? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, for Illinois, our flower is the violet.
The violet?
The violet is the flower, yes.
Oh, okay. And are violets growing all over Illinois? Is that why?
I guess so. You can get them in your backyard, especially if you don't cut your grass regularly.
Okay.
And for popcorn, Indiana. Every year they had that Orville Redenbacher Festival because of the popcorn and that. That's what Indiana was known for.
For popcorn.
The popcorn.
Okay.
Yes. And... St. Louis was going to try and take our cardinal, but they couldn't because for some reason, I don't know what it was, we had more Cardinals or something than they did, and we had the name first, but they wanted it because the Cardinals moved from Chicago down to St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
And that, so they wanted it, but for Missouri, but they didn't get it.
They didn't get it. Okay.
No.
All right, Linda. Thanks for the info.
Sure.
Okay. See you later.
Bye bye.
Bye. All right. There you go. The Violet. Okay. I guess that's cool. A couple of texts have come in. 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, when my dad was two, he noticed his baby brother's dirty diaper and exclaimed, "Poopy!" The nickname stuck for the rest of my uncle's life. We called him Uncle Poopy, and his siblings called him Poop for short. That's really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. The guy had no control over how his nickname started. He was just a baby. 224 area code says, when she was learning to drive, my sister crashed into the garage. I called her Zippy the Pinhead, and for decades, her nickname was Zippy, and in her license plate was Zippy 21. Well, she embraced it. I guess that's what you have to do. Mark the Breadman, who, by the way, Mark the Breadman, came out to Phantasm Tuesday. And he's married to a friend of mine, Megan, who stage managed some shows that I was in. Is Pennsylvania's new nickname the Gritty State? Well, there you go. It should be. It should be. I'll tell you that right now. So, all right, let's see. Here's Doc on WGN, and that's clearly a nickname. Hey, Doc.
Hey, good morning. Great topic.
Thanks, buddy.
First, I'm 65. I have a twin sister. Our names are Daryl Allen and Carol Ellen.
Oh.
So it's been about 40-plus years since I've gone by Daryl. I tell people that if I hear Daryl, it's preceded by, "Will the defendant please rise?" But I arrived at college. I'm 5'4". I had wrestled, played football, ran track in high school, fantastic shape. Joined a fraternity. A guy says, "You will be known as Rock of Gibraltar." That lasted until I gained about 30 pounds. Then it became Short Stack, Squatty Body. And it always amazed me. Some guys got one nickname the whole time. Hot Dog, 4 years.
Sure.
For 1 week, I was Knick Knack, which was a character played by Hervé Villechaize in some movie.
Right.
And then I went and got a haircut, and I swear I looked exactly like Julius Caesar. So then I became, and everyone morphed, you know.
Yeah.
I became Little Caesar, Caesar, Sneezer. And then finally my best friend nicknames me Dr. Loveless from a character on Wild Wild West. He was a midget in a lab coat they could never catch. And I went on to graduate school, kind of became synonymous with my education. Spent 5 years in the pizza business. People would say, "Hey, Doc, doctor me up a pizza." And on my 30th birthday, I invented the Dr. Pie, which was an all-meat pizza, and Doc's Flaming Paradise Pie. I would go out with a syringe, fill a grain of alcohol, and set your pizza on fire. And the only time I haven't been Doc is I was a school teacher for years with incarcerated juvenile delinquents. And, you know, my father was my dad, my oldest brother's dad. I got one brother left. He's Mr. Gould. So I was Mr. Doc.
Mr.
That was
Doc.
My educational name.
That's fantastic.
But I've gone by Doc for 40 years plus.
All right. That's great. Great stories. Yeah. It's great stories.
All right.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. That's great. All right. Kentucky, we know that one, the Bluegrass State. When settlers were coming to Kentucky, they were welcomed by field after field of tall grass with a blue cast. Louisiana is the Pelican State. Louisiana is very into their brown pelicans, which are unique to the state. Not only is it the bird on the state flag and seal, for some reason it's its nickname, the Pelican State. It's also the name of their basketball team. Maine, the Pine Tree State. With 7 million acres of forests, trees, and pine trees in particular, they are heavily into Maine's cultural identity. 17 million acres. Wow. That's a lot of tree. Maryland is the Old Line State. According to the Maryland government, the nickname the Old Line State was bestowed by then General George Washington for its courageous line troops who served in the Revolutionary War. Maryland is sometimes known as the Free State, which refers to its having to abolish slavery on November 1st, 1864 via its state constitution. Yeah, I've heard the Free State more than I've heard the Old Line State. Massachusetts is the Bay State. The winding coast of Massachusetts and its five bays, including the Massachusetts Bay, the Quincy Bay, Narragansett Bay, Buzzards Bay, and Cape Cod Bay, which gave rise to Massachusetts' nickname, the Bay State. Michigan is the Wolverine State. You know why, Dan?
Why is that?
They love Red Dawn in Michigan.
That's why.
According to the website All About Michigan, the most popular origin story for the state nickname is that during the 1835 Toledo War between Michigan and Ohio, Ohioans called Michigans Wolverines because they fought with such stubbornness, which Wolverines are known for. Oh, that's a cool origin story. That's pretty cool. Minnesota, well, this one we know, the Land of 10,000 Lakes. According to the state nickname, the Land of 10,000 Lakes, it actually has, although it is the state nickname is the Land of 10,000 Lakes, it actually has 11,842 lakes. Well, that's not as catchy. You know, the Land of 11,842 lakes, that doesn't roll off the tongue quite as easily as 10,000. Mississippi is the Magnolia State. You know why, Dan?
They love the movie
They
Magnolia.
Love the movie Magnolia. That's why. I should move there.
We should try to come up with movies for each one of the remaining states.
Okay, let's see if we can do that. The magnolia was voted the state's favorite flower by and tree by school children in 1900 and 1935, respectively. The Missouri, you know that's the Show Me State. You know why?
Why is that?
They like Jerry Maguire very much.
Oh yeah, that's very nice.
That's right. this is not going to be easy. I'm telling you.
That's what are we got nothing but time.
No, it's true. Extra hour. Missouri's nickname, the Show Me State, is not official, but it's in wide use and has a colorful origin story. At an 1899 naval banquet in Philadelphia, Missouri Congressman Willard Duncan Vandiver stated, "Frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You have to show me." Wow, all right. Montana. That's the treasure state. You know why, Dan?
Why is that?
They like Humphrey Bogart very, very much.
Sure.
In Montana.
Who doesn't?
Montana's nicknamed the treasure state refers to its rich mineral reserves and specifically its gold and silver mines, according to history. In fact, its state motto is Oro y Plata, which is Spanish for gold and silver. Oh, I didn't know that. Because I didn't take Spanish, and you'll find that out because I have a live read a little bit later on for the trip to Mexico, the Sox trip to Mexico. You'll find that out when I do that live read, Dan. You will find that out that I never took Spanish.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah, everybody, stay tuned. It's one of the first times because I saw it in the log, and I was like, I better take a look at that one because normally I read things cold. I was like, I better take a look at it, so I might be okay. Nebraska is the Cornhusker state. Well, you know why, Dan?
Why is that?
They love Kevin Costner.
Hmm.
That's why.
I thought you were going to go Husker Du there, but...
Oh, yeah. Husker... Oh, I thought we were doing movies.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I would have done Husker Du if we would have opened up to... I thought we were just doing movies. I just thought of corn, and I immediately thought of Field of Dreams. Corn is a major crop in Nebraska, and the University of Nebraska athletic teams have been known as the Cornhuskers since sports writer Charles Sumner Sherman popularized the phrase in 1899. In tribute to both, Nebraska adopted the Cornhusker State as its official nickname in 1945. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll find out about more nicknames. Yours, states, origins, 312-981-7200, and then the really goofy ones, the sports nicknames. That's coming up right here on 720 WGN. That's, of course, Bobby Boris Pickett, 301 area code, requesting Monster Mash. Does he have two more songs? I know he's got another one that sounds exactly like that. So
we'll find out.
Okay. Well, he has to because it's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah!
That sounded like Screaming Man.
It did sound like, oh, we're going to get him out, too. You know, we got Fartenstein and Count Fartula out. Now we got to get the Screaming Scary Sound CD, which we always bring out every Halloween season, which drives cats crazy, drives people crazy. So there you go. So welcome back, everybody.
Oh, I felt it in my boots.
He felt it in his boots, Fartenstein.
The wind beneath my wing.
There it is. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here, as you can tell. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we're talking about state nicknames and your nicknames and origin stories and all that stuff. We'd love to hear from you if you got a nickname or if you nicknamed somebody else. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nevada is the Silver State. The nickname, Silver. Oh, you know why? Because they love the movie Silverado.
Hmm.
I should have gone someplace else with that one.
What's the Richard Pryor movie?
Silver Streak. Oh, it's much better. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to change that. You know why? Because they're fans of Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Ah, very creative.
Thank you. The nickname derives from Nevada's large silver mine industry, which dates back to when it was still part of what was the Utah Territory. New Hampshire is the Granite State. Oh, man. You know you know why, Dan?
Why is that?
Because they love Robert De Niro and Edward Norton, who were in a movie that no one saw called Stone. But I love it.
That'll work.
The Granite State for its large quantity of quantities of stone, of the stone. So, here's a good one, Dan. New Jersey. It's the Garden State. You know why?
Why?
They love Zach Braff.
Oh.
And more importantly, Peter Sarsgaard. They love Peter Sarsgaard. New Jersey is home to more than 9,071 farms covering 715,057 acres of farmland. The state is one of the biggest growers of blueberries, cranberries, spinach, bell peppers, and peaches in the country. Really? Cranberries? Did you know that?
I was shocked by all that. I was shocked by all of what you just said.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. That's pretty. I didn't know. That's pretty cool, man. But you know, because New Jersey, you know, they get a bum rap. That state, and you know, gets a bum rap. I mean, it doesn't have a great reputation. But come on, man, cranberries. That's my favorite berry. Did you know that?
I did not.
It's my favorite juice. I have a jug of cranberry juice in my fridge, right next to my gallon of milk.
Wow.
New Mexico, New Mexico, the land of enchantment. You know why?
Why is that,
Dan? Because they love Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Oh, wow.
No, you know, I could have went to Enchanted because they love Amy Adams. You think that's a better
sure.
one? Was she in Enchanted, right?
Yeah, she's in one of
is
those.
Is it Amy Adams or was it?
No, it was Amy Adams.
It was Amy Adams. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This nickname refers to New Mexico's almost magical beauty. And the title of the book by Lillian Whiting is one of many New Mexico tried out for settling its nickname. Settling on its official nickname in 1999. It took them a while, man.
Well, the movie only came out recently.
That's true. It's true. New York is the Empire State. You know why?
Why is that?
They love Taraji P. Henson.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Oh, yeah. It's not movie.
Nah, close enough. They love Empire Records. Huge fan of Liv Tyler.
I actually was going to say, you know, before you jumped in, that one's better, but I was actually going to say that they're actually really big fans of Harrison Ford.
Mm.
Because of Empire Strikes Back. The New York Historical Society attributes it to George Washington. What is George Washington running around naming all kinds of states, man? What does he think he is, the first president of the United States? The New York Historical Society attributes it to George Washington, who, in a 1785 letter to the New York Common Council, praised New York's resilience in the Revolutionary War and described New York as the seat of the empire. The seat of the empire? North Carolina is the Tar Heel State. Oh, boy.
Good one.
Oh, boy. Oh! You know why? Because they are fans of, they love the movie Return of the Living Dead, and this is really going deep here. But there's a zombie in the movie that comes to life that is nicknamed the Tar Zombie.
Ah.
So that's where I went. They never call it the Tar Zombie in the movie. That's what fans of the movie have adopted as his name, because he looks like he's covered in tar. He's like, and he's like, got like black liquid like oozing down him. North Carolina was the largest producer of naval stores, including tar, pitch, rosin, and turpentine, from 1720 to 1820. One theory about the nickname itself was that Confederate General Robert E. Lee coined the phrase the Tar Heel Boys, which the Tar Heel State derives from. We got a few texts coming in here. 224 area code. My name is Felicia, but my uncle calls me Fleabag. Oh, man. He's the only one to this day who calls me Fleabag. I don't know why, but I love it. Trucker Dingo. Oh, boy. Here we go. Did he eat a baby? Did he steal a baby from somebody? Is that what happened? Yeah, I went to a movie reference on that one. Wow. At 25, I got drunk at my friend's... Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a reference to... Oh, my God. Well, at 25, I got drunk at my friend's bar on my birthday after watching the Seinfeld episode with maybe the Dingo HL baby. If I didn't want to talk to somebody who was talking to me, I'd yell, maybe the Dingo HL baby, and walk away. I'm 32 now, and I get introduced to everybody as Dingo. I've embraced it and put it on my license plate. Thanks for keeping me up and laughing all night. I drive from Chicago to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and back every night. You're the best, Nick. Dan's pretty good, too. Thank you, Dingo. All right. That's, by the way, hilarious.
That is great.
That is hilarious. Because it's Elaine who says it. Maybe the Dingo ate your baby. That episode stars Commissioner Curly Belushi. Chickless. He's in that episode with hair. Trucker Rich. Says, I was named after my Uncle Richard, and so I was nicknamed Little Richard, and am still called that by my family, even though I'm in my 60s. Now, I get Little Nick every once in a while, and, like, you know, cousins and stuff, who I don't see very often, I'm still Nicky. You know, because my dad is Nick. He's Big Nick, I'm Little Nick. That's how it was when I was a kid. Jesse says, during high school, an acquaintance and his friends would call me Al or Capone. I don't think I resembled him, but it didn't bother me. Al or Capone? All right. Okay. All right, here you go.
Smell my fear.
There you go. All right, let's take a break, shall we? Got the news coming up, and then more, a few more state nicknames and your nicknames and origins and sports nicknames and all that kind of goofy stuff. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number here on 720 WGN if you want to join us for talk or text. And also, Triple Play Thursday requests, keep them coming. 312-981-7200. So he's just basically done one song over and over and over and again. That's what he's done. 301 area code, Bobby Boris Pickett. That's Monsters Holiday, Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah, Triple Play Thursday.
312-981-7200. Hey, Vic.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a nickname besides the one that your uncle gave you?
Yeah, Ichnoctobohedus.
Yeah,
is probably, yeah, and it's not really a nickname.
Oh, okay.
But no, I don't think so.
No?
Although I have a funny story. My ex-wife has a brother who, for some reason, when he was growing up in elementary grade, like, let's say, you know, third, fourth, fifth grade, that area, he would not answer to his family unless they called him Susie.
What?
Just a crazy phase he went through. He wanted to be called Susie. He demanded it and would throw a fit if they did not call him Susie.
Has anybody As he grew up, did anybody say, why did you go through a period where you wanted to be called Susie?
He vaguely remembers it. He was young. You know, I think it was before fifth grade. That would probably be a little too old.
Yeah.
Probably like third grade, I want to say, maybe.
Wanted to be called Susie.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
So they would call him Susie, otherwise he wouldn't listen.
Yeah, or they would mess with him just to get a rise out of him. But yeah, he just went through a phase where it was Susie or nothing.
That is pretty funny. That's pretty funny. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you had a nickname, your friends have a nickname, what's the origin? You know, there you go. We got some sports nicknames coming up, too. Those kind of take the cake. All right. We're up to North Dakota, Dan.
All right.
North Dakota is the Peace Garden State. Wow. Yeah.
You know, Rachel Weitz.
But Rachel Weitz. Why?
The Constant Gardener.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's it. Rachel Weitz?
Wasn't it?
Constant Gardener? Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think she won the Oscar for that, didn't she? For that one? Why am I? What am I thinking of? There's Jamie Lee Curtis. And that's not the Constant Gardener. What's the one with Jamie Lee Curtis? Is she in the Constant Gardener, or am I thinking of something else? She's in, it's a Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan is not in the Constant Gardener, is he?
One of the Fiennes brothers, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
A search for Jamie Lee Curtis Gardner does not come up with anything specific.
How about Jamie Lee Curtis Pierce Brosnan? I don't know if it's got a similar name. It was like a spy movie. But yeah, that's why North Dakota.
The Tailor of Panama.
That's the one. That's the one. Why would I think that that's the Constant Gardener? What am I?
I mean, that's an occupation.
I guess. International Peace Garden straddles the boundary between North Dakota and the Canadian province of Manitoba. Let's see. The Ohio is the Buckeye State. You know why, Dan?
Why is that?
They enjoy John Candy.
Ah.
Ohio's nickname, the Buckeye State, comes from all the Ohio Buckeye trees within the state's borders. How about Oklahoma? That's the Sooner State. Yeah. Wow, that's a tough one. There's the Sooner State. Because they like the movie Run with Patrick Dempsey. Or what about Fast? Is there a Faster?
Is there a movie title with Soon in it?
Soon? I don't know.
You know Sooner arrived before you want to leave? No, that wouldn't be it.
No. Because we're thinking of trying to think of a connection to a movie with the word Sooner. Sooner or Later? That's a song. But that's maybe it was in a movie? I don't know.
There was a movie called Coming Soon featuring Bonnie Raitt and Gabby Hoffman.
That's what it is. It's because they like Gabby Hoffman. 1889, when the Indian Territory, of which Oklahoma was a part, was open to settlers, thousands lined up and raced into the territory to claim their land. Some snuck into the land, and that's now Oklahoma before the designated start time. Those early squatters were known as Sooners. The word came to symbolize an energetic can-do spirit. Soon was embraced as the nickname for the entire state. All right. Oregon is the Beaver State. Well, you know why? They love Mel Gibson. And again, that's a movie that no one saw. Jodie Foster directed it. It's called The Beaver. Known as Nature's Engine. Did you hear this Mel Gibson thing?
I have not.
He's remaking The Wild Bunch.
Hmm.
Is he out of his mind? Well, that's a... Well, that question's already been answered. don't be messing with the Wild Bunch, man. Are you crazy? Known as the nature's engineer, the beaver's dam-building activities are important to natural water flow and erosion control. According to the Oregon Secretary of State, beaver fur was prized in the 19th century, and the beaver is also featured on the reverse side of the Oregon state flag. Pennsylvania is the Keystone State. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they enjoy old black and white comedies.
Ah.
Featuring cops. according to history. Geographically, Pennsylvania's central location along the arch of the 13 states calls to mind a keystone. Rhode Island. That's the ocean state. Well, you know why.
Why is that?
They enjoy Frank Sinatra very much.
Sure.
Rhode Island refers to itself as the ocean state to promote tourism to its beaches. For a state that only has 37 miles wide, 48 miles long, it's most notable that its shoreline on the Narragansett Bay in the Atlantic Ocean runs for 400 miles. Oh, boy. South Carolina is the Palmetto State. is there a documentary about trees anywhere? Because they love Lord of the Rings and the walking trees. South Carolina has a good reason to honor the Palmetto tree. During the colonists' conflicts with the British in 1775, it said that the British cannonballs bounced off their fort, which was made of palmetto logs. South Dakota is the Mount Rushmore state. They love Jason Schwartzman there. Tennessee is the Volunteer state. They love Tom Hanks and John Candy. The Lone Star State, Texas, the Lone Star State, like John Sayles movies with Matthew McConaughey. let's see. Utah is the Beehive State. They enjoy The Swarm, the fantastic Irwin Allen disaster movie, which, by the way, have you ever seen The Swarm?
No.
It's the disaster movie with the killer bees. It's hilarious. It's one of those movies. It's one of those movies that... Michael Caine is in it. And Michael Caine was in two of the most hilarious bad disaster movies of all time. The Swarm is just, it's hysterically funny. And it's killer bees, you know, attacking people. And then he was also in Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, which is one of the greatest bad movies of all time. He screams every one of his lines in that movie. And I've told you about the one of the greatest scenes in the history of film.
Absolutely.
Jack Warden, okay? Jack Warden is in it, and I can't remember who played his wife. Shirley Jones, I think. Shirley Jones?
It was one of the Shirley's.
It wasn't Shirley Jones. Shirley Jones is Partridge Family. Booth. Shirley Booth. So she plays his wife, and in Beyond the
Shirley Knight.
Shirley Knight. Okay, Shirley Knight. No, Shirley Booth. Shirley Booth was Hazel, the maid.
Shirley Jones was in the movie as a nurse, though.
Oh, she was? Of course she was. Of course Shirley Jones was in Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
And Sally Field was in it as well.
Sally Field was kind of the female lead. Michael Caine screams every line. And the movie takes place on the other side of the ship, where there happens to be another group of people trying to get out of the boat that has been turned upside down. So they come across Jack Warden and his wife, and Jack Warden, and they're like, come with us. You need to come. Well, Michael Caine, you need to come with us now! Because he screams every line in the movie. And Jack Warden is like, I can't. And they go, why? He goes, and he picks up a pair of sunglasses, puts a pair of sunglasses, and he puts them on, and he goes, you see, I'm blind. It's like, oh, thank God you had those sunglasses that you put on to show us that you were blind. Because I'm blind. And then he said it right as he puts the sunglasses on. It's the stupidest movie ever made. All right. Vermont is the Green Mountain State. Because they like the movie Alive. Because the plane crashes in the Andes Mountains and they had to eat their dead friends. Virginia is the Old Dominion State. Yeah, this one. There's a horror movie called Dominion. So they like that. Washington is the Evergreen State. You know why, Dan?
Why is that?
Because they like the Barbara Streisand version of Star is Born.
Mm.
West Virginia, that's the Mountain State. I can't use the same one, right? I got to do a different.
Yeah, come on.
Got to do a different movie. There's that. They Vertical Limit. They enjoy the movie Vertical Limit very much.
Sure.
In West Virginia. Wisconsin is the America's Dairyland or the Badger State. If it's America's Dairyland, they enjoy Sean Penn very, 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 very much because he was in Milk.
Grumpy Sean Penn.
The Badger State. Was there any? Are there movies with badgers in them? There's got to be, right? We'll get back to that one. And then Wyoming is the equality state. It's because they like the movie about equality. That's the one.
What was the movie from a couple years ago that had like every famous female actress in it that was supposed to be about ratifying the amendment and was going to be all Oscar buzz, and then it just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one. That's what they like in Wyoming. All right.
301 counters with maybe Oregon just loves Jerry Mathers.
That's TV, though.
That's true.
It's TV. I was trying to do movies. I was specifically trying to do movies. All right. Did they ever make a Leave It to Beaver movie? Didn't they do a Leave It to Beaver movie, Airborne? And it was like a modern one?
Yes, 1997.
Who was in it?
Featuring Christopher McDonald as Ward.
That's right. Christopher McDonald was in it.
Janine Turner as June.
That, yeah, Mark Grace's old girlfriend.
And Cameron Finley as the Beav.
Oh, boy, he went on to a lot of success. That name is rings a bell. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Oh, I just knocked over Fartula and Fartenstein. Sorry, guys. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the best nicknames in sports. And the phone lines and the text lines are still open for you guys to tell us your nickname stories and some of your favorite nicknames. 312-981-7200. Bobby Boris Pickett was still recording when rap was popular? What? I don't even know that. I didn't even know that that was a thing. Triple Play Thursday, 301 area code. Bobby Boris Pickett, that's Monster Rap. Triple Play Thursday. You hear me, Triple Play Thursday? 312-981-7200. All right, we're getting into sports nicknames. We want to hear from you guys. If you have nickname stories, nickname that you have, what's the origin of it, how you got it, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, Dan, you were looking at this.
Yes.
What do you think are some of the best ones?
I do love Night Train Lane, Bobby Night Train Lane. That okay. is a fantastic one. He just liked the song, and so they apparently just gave it to him.
Yeah.
Dr. J is pretty iconic.
All right.
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray?
Was just a guy. He was boxing, and he needed to get in a gym, so he borrowed a friend's ID, and his name was Ray, and that's how people started calling him Ray, and then he got Sugar Ray, and he never went by his other name afterwards. So those are the ones off the top of my head.
Those are the ones, okay. Let's see. We've got Butterbean. Butterbean, of course, is the guy. Did you ever see the Jackass episode where he knocks out Johnny Knoxville?
No.
They go into a sports store, like a sports equipment store. They both have boxing gloves on, and they get one of the idiots is dressed up as a ref with a bell. And he rings the bell, and they start boxing. And Butterbean knocks Johnny, concussed him on his ass. And of course, there's a bunch of people in the store going, "What the hell is going on?" Because these idiots just come in. Start boxing in the middle of the store, and Butterbean, Knoxville didn't know his name. He was like, did I win? How about this? Andre Dawson, one of my favorite Cubs ever, the Hawk. This is from his own words on from ESPN.com. My uncle would hit me ground balls and throw me batting practice, and he said I had this presence. I would be all over the ball, and my approach was different from normal kids. A lot of kids would back away. They would be afraid of the ball. He said that I would just attack it. It reminded him of a hawk, and it just stuck all those years. That's a cool nickname, the Hawk. Anthony Spud Webb. How tall was he when he was playing? It was like 5'8"? Maybe, no, he's even shorter than that, too, right? Because I'm 5'8". He was shorter than that,
yeah,
right?
I want to say he's shorter than that.
Spud's older brother, David, came up with the nickname. He said, when he was born, he had a big old bald head. And people called him Sputnik Head after the satellite that the Russians put in orbit, and that's where Spud comes from now. But now when Spud jumps, he's really in orbit. That came from Sputnik? That's where it came from?
He's 5'7".
5'7". Guy's shorter than me, and he played professional baseball, basketball. Calvin Johnson, Megatron. That's a great one. Childhood cartoon reference nickname is guaranteed to win the nickname department. Stu the Grim Reaper Grimson. Gotta love using the last name to come up with the Grim Reaper for a nickname. And why would you mess with this guy? Well, you got the name Grimson. That's pretty cool. Robert Parrish was known as the Chief. Parrish apparently had a stoic demeanor that his teammate Cedric Maxwell gave him the nickname in reference to the Chief, a character in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Kenny the Snake Stabler. Southpaw, by the way. Lefty. His high school coach gave him the name after he zigged and zagged his way to a long touchdown before knee injuries. The nickname aptly described his scrambling style. Let's see, there's Smokin' Joe Frazier. Jack Tatum is the assassin. Matt Ryan is Matty Ice, a favorite for frat guys everywhere. Florence Griffin Joyner is FloJo. That came before they would do like the J-Lo thing and the J-Law thing. How many more of those are there? There's J-Lo, J-Law. Does anybody else have that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Those are the two big ones.
Yeah. There's Craig Ironhead Hayward. Hayward got the nickname Ironhead in his hometown of Passaic, New Jersey, for both his massive head, which is sized 8 3/4. Oh, my God, that's bigger than Andy Herman's head. Did you know that Andy Herman has a magnificently large head?
I did not.
Oh, yeah, no, it's deceptively huge. And he's like, oh, I got a really big head. And I'm like, but it doesn't look like a big head. You know what I mean? He doesn't look.
I would not have thought big head of all the producers here.
Yeah. James Vanderbeek, he apparently, obviously has a large noggin.
Right.
Dan does not, but then, like, he's like, here, try, he says he could very, very rarely find baseball hats that would fit him. But he had one. He's like, here, try it on. And I put it on, and it went, but covered my eyes.
My God.
I was like, what the? So, all right. We got more nicknames here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got some pizza stuff to talk about as well and more. 312-981-7200 is the number. Squat, who got that nickname for reasons that I'll just leave to your imagination if you weren't listening a little earlier. Picking Head East with Since You've Been Gone. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, the Allstate Skyline Studio. That's where we are. And we're talking about nicknames for sports nicknames. And let's see. His head, we were talking about Ironhead, Craig Ironhead Hayward. Listen to this. True to form, Hayward said that he was once struck over the head with a pool cue. It broke the cue in half. David Deacon Jones. That's one of the coolest nicknames, one of the best sports nicknames. Normally giving yourself a nickname is corny, but not with him. But not only did David Jones appoint himself Deacon so his name would be more memorable for future generations, he also was the first to call tackling quarterback behind the line of scrimmage a sack. What? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's why it's called a sack now?
Yep. Because of him. It wasn't even an official stat until the mid-80s.
Wow, I never knew that. That's a pretty cool little piece of trivia right there. If you've coined a term that became an institutionalized statistic, you can call yourself whatever you like. Harold Pee-wee Reese. Contrary to popular belief, the nickname Pee-wee was given to him during his marble-playing days, not due to his small stature. Pee-wee was a Louisville City Marbles champion at the age 12. Apparently, a Pee-wee is a type of marble. Vinny the Microwave Johnson. Danny Ainge coined this nickname as a tribute to the Detroit guard, whose instant offense and ability to heat up in limited playing time wreaked havoc on many Pistons opponents during the late 80s. He's a jerk. What would Jennifer Lawrence call him? His nickname?
Space Oven.
J-Law, sorry. Well, come on now, Bobby Hull, the Golden Jet. When your nickname includes the word "the," indicating you are the definitive version of something, there's a good chance your nickname is pretty cool. When your nickname includes a reference to gold, chances are you're also highly respected.
Got one, Nick.
Yeah.
Too Tall Jones.
Well, do you want to know something really weird, Vic?
What?
I'm looking at the list, and Bobby Hull, you know what the next one is?
Is it Too Tall
Jones? It's Too Tall Jones.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, that's just weird.
He was one of my idols growing up.
And he was six.
I mean, you know, sports idol.
He was 6'9", so his nickname was apt. Obviously, that's what. But yeah, Too Tall Jones is a great nickname. That's weird, though, Vic.
Is weird.
I
just asked Dan. Anybody mentioned Too Tall yet? He said jump in, and then bam, it's the next one on your list.
It's the next one. That's so crazy.
No.
Well, it is Halloween time. Mm-hmm. Hey, Vic, are you familiar with Fartula and Count Fartenstein and Fartula?
Huh?
You don't?
What?
Oh, no, I can't believe this. You've been...
Oh, Count Fartula.
Yeah.
I've definitely...
That will live forever, too.
See?
I feel much better.
And then Fartenstein.
I'm smoking.
See?
Thank you.
I posted a picture of them on my regular Facebook page if you want to see what Fartenstein and Count Fartula look like. It's on my regular personal Facebook page. Dan, maybe you can grab that from my personal fan book page and throw it on our fan book page. Facebook page. I made up a new website, Fanbook.
Trademarked.
Thank you. You think I'll have $39 billion soon and start wearing hoodies?
Certainly hope so.
And talking like a robot? I think he is a robot. I think Zuckerberg is a robot. That should be his nickname. Mark the Robot Zuckerberg. Leroy Satchel Paige. ESPN Sports Century has the following tidbit about Satchel Paige. He reportedly got his nickname working as a baggage porter in Mobile, Alabama, where he became a satchel tree by carrying several bags at once. And Satchel the man was literally ageless. Reggie Jackson was Mr. October. We know why. Deion Sanders was Primetime. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, obviously because of his incredible record. Stan the Man Musial. Stan Musial really was the man, as a quick glance of his stats make apparent. Still, that doesn't make the man a great nickname. It's a good nickname because it has a nice ring to it. Quentin Rampage Jackson. Let's see, what are some of the other ones here? Randy Johnson, the big unit. Listen, I always thought this was, I mean, he's a big guy, right? But I didn't know the origin of it. I always thought it was a weird nickname. Randy Johnson, obviously, you know, a big dude. And could kill birds in a single pitch. He could make a bird explode. Here's what he says. I was given my nickname when I first got called up to the big leagues in 88. By a former teammate of mine, Tim Raines. Oh, Tim Raines gave him that nickname? The 6'10" hurler recalled, he was about 5'9". He bumped into me and looked up and said, "You're a big unit." That's pretty cool. I didn't know that Raines gave him that nickname. That's pretty funny,
that
though.
That is awesome.
You're a big unit. Gary Payton is the glove. In the 1993 Western Conference Finals, Payton squared off against the Phoenix Suns point guard Kevin Johnson. Supposedly, after playing his typical lockdown defense, Payton received a call from his cousin saying, quote, he was holding Johnson like a baseball in a glove. And the nickname fit. William the Refrigerator Perry, of course. Wayne Gretzky, the great one. Well, I mean, that's, you know, come on. What do you mean? Because he's the best hockey player that's ever lived. So, yeah. Muhammad Ali, the greatest. He gave himself that nickname, I think. He wasn't very boastful, Muhammad Ali. let's see. David Robinson was the Admiral. He had served as an officer in the U.S. Navy before being drafted by the Spurs. Short, sweet, and memorable, a winning formula for a lasting nickname. Super Mario Lemieux. When you can aptly describe the player's abilities by making a video game reference, you've nailed a winning nickname. So I guess if you throw in a video game reference, that's pretty good. All right, let's see. Here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I got a nickname for you. The Big Hurt.
Yeah. Is he on this list?
Yeah, he is.
He's on the list. All right, let's see where he is.
Okay, thank goodness.
Yeah, no, he's the Big Hurt. And I think it's because he would hurt people with his hitting.
I think Hawk Harrelson gave him that nickname.
Did he?
Right,
let's see. I don't see him. We'll have to find it. But apparently he's on the list, so we'll get the explanation as to.
Okay, do some homework.
All right, thanks, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, see ya.
I thought it was because he put a Big Hurt on the baseball, but I'll double check that.
It's probably what it, I mean. That seems like it would be. That's what it would be. So, all right. How about Robert Tractor Trailer? Perfect combination of a nickname that took into its account his physical build and his name. Allen Iverson, the answer. I think that's also a fantastic nickname. Allen Iverson. In Philadelphia, he was the answer to fans weary from poor teams. Ozzie Smith was the Wizard of Oz. Technically speaking, Ozzie is also a nickname, as Smith's given name was Osborne, but he simply was the Wizard. He would go by the Wizard. And one of the greatest nicknames of all time, Sweetness. Did you know the story behind this one, Dan?
I did not.
ESPN Sports Century, Walter Payton, of course, the beloved Walter Payton. We love him here in this city. After shedding the childhood nickname Spider-Man, Payton picked up Sweetness at Jackson State, a school he chose over larger, more glamorous suitors because his brother Eddie was already playing there. Whether it was for all the skills he brought to the field or because it packed a certain irony for someone who enjoyed physical contact, the new nickname stuck. We got that in Jackson State. Let's see. Penny Hardaway. Hardaway's grandmother called him pretty because she thought he was very handsome. However, she had a thick southern drawl that his friends used to say Penny, and the rest is history. They thought she was saying Penny, not pretty. Dan, you know how Shemp got his name? Shemp Howard from the funniest stooge from the Three Stooges?
I do not.
His mother, or maybe it was his grandmother, had an accent, but a thick sort of Jewish accent. His name is Samuel. His real name is Samuel. Shemp's real name is Samuel. But when she would say Sam, it sounded like Shemp. It was Shemp when she would say Sam. So he became Shemp. That's how Shemp Howard became Shemp Howard. You know how I learned that?
How's that?
Because I was on Stoogepalooza with our guest from earlier, Rich Coes, and he asked me three trivia questions about Shemp. Because I Shemp's my favorite stooge. So when I was on Stoogepalooza, Rich did a full 2 hours of all Shemp shorts in honor of me because I love Shemp so much. So he had me come down, we talked a little bit, and then he gave me the trivia questions, and I got all three of them wrong. And I made a complete fool of myself. And one of the trivia questions he asked me was, how indeed did Shemp get his nickname? I can't even remember what I answered. But it was wrong, and that's how I learned, because he told me that's what his mother or his grandmother had a very thick accent. So it didn't sound like Sam when she said it. It sounded like Shemp. I know that now. Rich, have me back on. It was in September of like 2003 when I was on, because the episode name was Shemptember. That's when he called it. I miss Stoogepalooza. I wish they'd bring it back. It was a great show. Rich showing full uncut Stooge shorts and doing trivia in between and giving you and introducing them, and it was 2 hours of all nothing but, and it used to be Stoogepalooza, then Svengoolie. So you'd get 4 hours of Rich Coes on Saturday nights. You know what I mean? I love 2 hours of Rich Coe's on Saturday night, but I would prefer 4 hours of Rich Coe's every Saturday night. Yeah, Stoogeypalooza was on at 7, and Sven was on at 9. So, yeah. Anyway. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got the weather, and we want to hear from you. We're going to wrap up the whole conversation about nicknames. So get in here with your nicknames and the origins and stuff like that. We got more sports nicknames, and we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! No, it's not. It's Triple Play Thursday. I'm going back in time, Dan. And yesterday's show was the one where I was sleep deprived. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, maybe side effects.
Yeah, I guess so. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. And it's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! 312-981-7200. Head east with Never Been Any Reason Squat recommended. Or requested that. Hey, Dan, I can tell you where that's played in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yes.
It's one of the moments when they're in the when they're at the Emporium at the pool at the billiard place, sitting out front, and that's what it's. Oh, you know what? It's the part where you know where the girls have the beer cap things, and they snap their finger to fling the beer cap across. That's what's happening. I've seen Dazed and Confused a couple times. You know, I've never shown that at my film club. I did it years ago at Bruinview, as you know, you were there. I should show that at my film. It's, you know, it's the 25th anniversary. But we've already got November and December planned, so it'll be the 26th anniversary if I decide to show it now. Yeah, I'll have to talk to Mike about that. Get some Dazed and Confused fans out. Let the AMC Rosemont Theater smell like pot for a night. It's Nick DiGilio. This is the Allstate Skyline Studios. Beautiful up here. And we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. We got some texts here. We're wrapping up the nickname conversation here. And let's see. 708 area code says, Dick Butkus was called the animal because he hit people hard enough to put them into a cemetery. Yeah. You ever see old footage, old films of Dick Butkus? Would you want to be on the other side of that guy?
No.
Oh, my God. And Singletary's another guy. You look at the Singletary's crazy eyes. No, I'm sorry. Doc says, what about the worm? Yeah, how did Rodman get that? Do we know how Rodman got that?
I am looking it up now.
Okay. 262 area code says, the Minister of Defense, Reggie White, he was an actual minister and a defensive lineman. Russ said, don't forget about Mean Joe Green, classic. Peter in Decatur says, William Ellsworth Hoy, who played baseball in the late 1800s, including the White Sox, well, he was deaf. His nickname was Dummy. Oh, my God. He is credited with getting umpires to start using hand signals for balls and strikes. Chicago's Mike Nowak co-wrote a play about this called The Signal Season of Dummy Hoy. The Signal Season of Dummy Hoy. Wow, I didn't know that. That's pretty fascinating.
Apparently, Dennis Rodman got the nickname from his mother. He wiggled around a lot while playing pinball.
to move the machine a little bit? You know,
so.
Without tilting it. 815 area code says Ron Say was the penguin. Yes, he was. Because he did kind of, he was a bit of a squatty guy, and he did kind of resemble, when he ran, he did kind of resemble a penguin. 312 area code says, I impressed Frank Thomas by chugging two consecutive cans of his Big Hurt beer in front of him, and the next morning my head experienced the Big Hurt. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute.
All right.
So I'm just trying to figure this out. Did he just like walk up to Frank Thomas and go, "Hey, look at this," and chug a couple of beers? What? And then Thomas was impressed. Oh, that's good. Good for you. That's ridiculous. 708 area code Goose Gossage and Mark the Bird Fidrich. 630 area code says, I believe. Refrigerator Perry also was given the nickname Biscuit. I believe it was because when he weighed in, someone said he was a biscuit over 300. Oh man. That's you don't hear this very often, Dan. Someone just misses a home run. You know, they just miss a home run, and it's the phrase "another biscuit for breakfast."
Oh, I've never heard that.
Oh, you've never heard that?
No.
Like if they just miss it, they just if he had another biscuit for breakfast.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that's a cool phrase. I haven't heard that in years. Rick is on WGN. Hey, Rick.
How you doing, Nick? Very good.
All right.
Yeah, George Iceman Gervin, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to love the way he used to do it. It's the fingertips, the way he used to roll it up on the rim there.
Yeah.
He's going to set his flat, and roll it down with slick. I don't know where he got his name from, though. Do you know that?
I do not know that. The Iceman? Not know that. I would imagine it's because he's cool under pressure. That would be my guess, cool under pressure.
Yeah, definitely would. Yeah, for sure. Hey, let me ask you a question. I've been listening to you for a long time, man, for about 15, 17 years.
Oh, thanks.
And I remember you guys had this something to do with hot dogs. You guys, everybody had to eat some hot dogs and
corn dogs.
Drink a bunch of beer at a certain time or
corn
something.
Dogs.
I never heard about that.
It was corn dogs. Yeah, and the reason why we don't do it anymore is because it happens on Saturdays. When I had my Saturday show, it was National Corn Dog Day is what it was. And we covered it for many years on the show. We had the guys who started the National Corn Dog Day. And National Corn Dog Day is the first Saturday of March Madness. And so it coincides with the first Saturday of March Madness. And people around the country have National Corn Dog Day parties. And they try to do what they called the triple-double, which would be 10 corn dogs, 10 servings of tater tots, and 10 beers. And if you get all those done, then you get a triple-double, and then you raise money and stuff like that. So, we would check in with live National Corn Dog Day parties. That was back when I had my Saturday show, but I don't do Saturdays anymore. So, Rick, you'll have to talk to who does Saturday evenings now?
Hoekstra.
Dave. Talk to Dave. Dave will do corn dogs. So there you go. Rick, thanks for the call, and I appreciate you listening for as long as you have. All right, we're going to break here, the last one here is one of my favorites, is Fred McGriff, the crime dog, and for obvious reasons, and that's a great nickname. That's one of my favorites. All right, let's take a break here on WGN. We'll come back with the news and more afterwards. 312-981-7200 is the phone number right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday continues. That's one artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Squat, our good friend, requesting some Head East. That's Love Me Tonight. Not featured in Dazed and Confused. Dan, just wanted to let you know.
You would know.
Oh, boy. Hey, are there any movies that you've seen so many times that you pretty much know all the dialogue? Because I'm one of these serial repeat viewers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are lots of movies that I watch over and over again. I know a lot of people are like, why would you watch a movie over and over and over again? I don't really know why. What about you?
I'm trying to think. It's just, you know, with the kids now, I don't get to see many movies.
Yeah.
You know,
when you were younger,
I watched Real Genius multiple times.
Oh, please.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie multiple times.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Probably in that group. But the most recent one would be Bradley Cooper's Burnt for some unknown guy.
Speaking of Bradley Cooper, man, I think he's going to have a big weekend.
I got to tell you, man, it certainly sounds like it.
Yeah. My mom is so excited to see that movie. We're going Saturday afternoon. I'm going with my folks. My mom is so excited. My mom, you know, adores the Barbra Streisand version. My mom loves Barbra Streisand. She adores the Barbra. Bless you. She adores the Barbra Streisand version of Star Is Born. And as a result, growing up in that house, I heard the soundtrack 9 million times. And saw the movie, you know, more than once. And I, too, love the movie. It's not a very good movie. I have to say, it's not a great movie. But because the movie came out in 1976. So you know, I was 11 years old. And so for all the years that I lived with my parents, that soundtrack was played over and over and over and over again. Of course, I grew to love it. And so, yeah, she's very excited about it. And when she first saw the trailer, when we first saw the trailer for it, she's like, oh, we're going to see that. And I'm like, I know, take it easy. So, yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to have a really big weekend. Oh, by the way, you know who posted? I told you that someone on Facebook posted Venom is, well, it's not as bad. It's not as bad as the Fantastic Four movies. Mm-hmm. You know who that was?
Who was that?
Van Osdell.
Ah, nice.
James Van Osdell, by the way. Which is, that's pretty funny.
Absolutely.
It's not as bad. Okay, that's saying a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Before you go any farther, you know, people are waking up, so they might not have heard who was on the show this morning.
Rich Coase.
No, the other two Halloween characters.
Oh, I put them away.
Oh, you put them away?
Yeah.
People are waking up
people
right
are waking
now.
Up. That's good. You know what? That's a good idea. I'll wait. Next break, I'll go back and grab them. I just put them away. I don't know why. I thought I played the guys enough, but I'm just thinking, you know, it's a good idea. It's the last hour of the show that people are starting to wake up now and they would like to hear Count Fartula or Fartenstein.
Perhaps they're doing that in their bed right now.
That's right. at the next break, I promise, I will run back and grab them. And the people who are waking up now who listen to the last part of the show will get their chance to hear the first farts of the season from Count Fartula and Fartenstein.
A tradition like no other.
Hey, do you know that I have a plaque on the Walk of Fame?
That's what I hear.
Are you aware of that? It's because of that. I think it's because of stuff like Fartenstein and Count Fartula.
You know, when they were making the pitches to Todd. You know,
about who should get it. Yeah.
You know, Stephen Mendez was just like Count Fartula.
It's got to be Count Fartula.
Fartenstein.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody said anything else, Count Fartula.
They didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
They didn't have to say anything. Why should Nick be in the Walk of Fame? Count Fartula and Fartenstein. Oh, yeah, that's it. He's in. Oh, man, I'm an idiot. All right. Hey, Dan, do you bake cookies?
I don't.
Why not?
Because I don't bake anything, typically. I enjoy them quite
a
bit.
Yes, you enjoy baked cookies.
Thankfully, my 3-year-old daughter and my wife enjoy baking cookies,
cool.
I don't have to.
All right. Well, that's cool. I consider myself a good cook. Like a really good cook. I can't bake at all. You know why? Because baking, you got to follow the rules and you got to be precise. It is absolutely about precise measurements and doing everything right. Cooking, you can screw around. You can add what you want, experiment and stuff, but you can't do that when you're baking. It's too exact a science. So I'm not good at it because I'm an idiot. But this is pretty cool. Now, if you do bake, and I know a lot of people bake. I know Mary Vandeveld bakes.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Sandberg Boyle.
Oh, makes those cookies.
Those cookies. Oh, those crunchy. Oh, those cookies that she makes. Oh, my God. Anyway, they should probably think about maybe, which they can't, can they?
Well, they're not. I don't know if we're technically associated with them anymore because it's two separate companies now.
Ah. Well, Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest submissions begin. Joe Gray wrote about it. Calling all Chicago area. This is for everybody. Calling all Chicago area cookie bakers. Yes, it's barely October, but it's already time for the Chicago Tribune's annual holiday cookie contest. Submissions begin. They began yesterday, okay, October 3rd. We're looking for a cookie recipe that you've created, unique cookies, those with a twist. Maybe you've added an unusual ingredient to a traditional or a family favorite, or maybe you've invented an out-of-the-ordinary treat. The Chicago Tribune's cookie contest is more than 3 decades old, and your cookie could become part of that long tradition. To enter, submit the recipe, describing why it is special, and a photo of the cookies, if you have one, to the Tribune. And all submissions will be posted on the Food and Dining page online, where readers will help choose the finalists by voting for their favorites. The top 15 vote-getters will become finalists, who will be asked to bring 2 dozen of their cookies November 5th to the Tribune's new offices at 160 North Stetson Avenue. Where the cookies will be tasted and ranked by a panel of Tribune food writers and a guest pastry chef. In addition, we have the Joe Gray Save. I have the option of elevating an additional cookie from the submissions if I feel it's worthy of being a finalist, but for some reason hasn't garnered the votes. And the prizes? First place is $250 in cash. Second place is $150. Third place is $50. Plus, the winners will be invited for a cookie party and a tour of the Tribune's beautiful new test kitchen high above Millennium Park on the 40th floor of the Prudential Building. Now, there's a lot of details here that you can see online. I'm not going to read all the details. You have to be 14 years or older. You have to reside in Illinois, Lake County, Indiana, or Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kenosha County, Wisconsin. Food professionals and employees of the Tribune and family members are not eligible. And the three winners from last year's Chicago Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest are not eligible this year. And you can submit your entries online, or you can do it mail if you really want to mail. You can mail your entry to Holiday Cooking Contest, Chicago Tribune, 180 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60601. And entries sent via snail mail will be posted at chicagotribune.com so they can be part of the voting as well. So they will be accepted from, submissions will be accepted from October 3rd at 12:01 a.m. to October 23rd at 11:59 p.m. These are central times. And the mailed entries have to be received by October 22nd. And then the voting opens on October 24th online. October 24th at 12:01, and the voting ends at November 2nd at 12:01 a.m. And the voters are asked to choose based on creativity and originality of the recipes. So it sounds like a good deal. They've been doing this for 30 years, and now that the Tribune has moved, they've got these new cool facilities. Like we've moved too because we were in the same building with them, and we have great new facilities. We could host a bake-off here, don't you think?
I would hesitate to volunteer, but I would be a happy participant.
Yeah, I would be a happy participant too because we have two full kitchens.
That's right.
Here at the station, and so that would be pretty cool. But anyway, so once again, get your cookies ready to go, and the holiday cookie contest is beginning. It's underway right now, and in fact, you can go online right now because you began taking submissions yesterday. So get in there now, and the top 15 vote getters will be finalists, and you guys will bring in your two dozen of their cookies on November 5th to the Tribune. The cookies are going to be tasted and ranked. There's going to be Tribune food writers there, a guest pastry chef, and then Joe Gray, who wrote the piece, says that he has an option where he can do the Joe Gray save, where if he likes a cookie that for some reason is not a finalist, he can make it a finalist. So you can win $250 first place, second place $150, third place $50, and then you'll be invited to the cookie party. So there you go. That sounds like fun. Just wanted to get that out there, and you can check it out online. And also, I told you can mail it snail mail too if you want. So, Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest. Dan, you a fan of the Tribune or the Tribune?
Yes,
I am too.
I am.
Are you a fan of holiday cookies? Do you eat a lot of them during the holiday season?
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate because we typically have a party every weekend in the month of December.
Yeah.
So they say that you put on 7 pounds in between Thanksgiving and the New Year, and I would definitely be part of that.
Yeah.
Thanks to those cookies.
Yeah. I know they bring in a lot of food here at the station too, but by the time we get it, it's been out for hours. You know what I mean? Like when we...
That's true.
When we come in, you know, people bring stuff in the morning, and then sometimes it'll just sit out. And then I remember back at the Tribune building when we were on the 7th floor. That's where the newsroom was,
mm-hmm.
And the newsroom was always the place where you would take the leftover food and just put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I always found that really amusing because it's like all right, what do we got? We got a bunch of leftover food. Just bring it to the newsroom.
Vaughn will eat it.
Yeah, Vic Vaughn will eat it. Don't worry, but just leave it there. I always thought that was pretty funny. It was like, what are we going to do? Just put it in the newsroom. That's where everybody puts all the leftover food. Just dump it right in the newsroom. So they don't do that here, I don't think. I mean, there's a lot of candy in the newsroom. Have you noticed that, Dan?
Well, yeah, that's because Badish.
Yeah.
Badish like writes fan letters to the candy companies, I believe.
They got like red vines in there. There's double bubble bubble gum. There are dum-dum lollipops, which I've been taking advantage of, I have to say. I forgot how much I enjoyed the dum-dum lollipops. They're very tasty. And you know what? They're not huge. They're small. They're little
right.
teeny lollipops, so it doesn't take you an hour and a half to finish one. So, all right. Well, get your contestants going and get your cookies going and your recipes in right now. All right. We'll keep you posted on what's happening on that, too. All right. Let's take a break here for the weather. today. This is at all. 847 area code on Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, baby, blah, 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 blah. It's one artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. 847 area code requesting Lisa Gerrard with I Am Your Shadow. All right. There you go. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. And yeah, and we'll be here until 5 o'clock. All right. So, Dan, as you were saying, you know what? I just noticed something about Fartenstein.
What's that?
Now, I've had these for years now. These are plush little toys. One looks like a Frankenstein monster. He's kind of goofy, and he has his finger sticking out. The other looks like a Count Dracula, and he has his finger sticking out. But what I've noticed about the first time I've noticed this, in all the years that I've had Fartenstein, is that if you lift up his hairline, right on the front here, he's got, you know, he's got your basic Frankenstein design. He's got the bolts in the neck and the square head and all that stuff. If you lift up the hairline here at the bottom, there's a scar underneath his hairline.
Look at that.
I never noticed that
before. Well thought out.
That's really a lovely little detail that they put into Fartenstein. Because they had to put a brain into him. And then there's a big scar under it's been hidden by his hairline. I never noticed that before. All right. Well, for people who are regular listeners, and people at Dan, as you said, people are just waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween season is officially kicked off because I have brought out Fartenstein and Count Fartula. Now, I should maybe give the backstory of Count Fartula and Fartenstein. I was walking through a Walgreens, and they had their seasonal aisle filled with Halloween things. And was this a, or maybe it was an Osco. Maybe it was a Jewel Osco. I'm trying to remember. It was a Jewel Osco. I had these so long. This is when I was still living in Andersonville. That's how old these are. I went down the aisle and I was like, oh, look at these crazy things. And you know how, like, you can press a button and make noisy, you know, they have things that make noise. Or now they're motion sensor. If you walk past it, things laugh. My mom's got a thing. My mom, by the way, in the apartment building that my parents live in, my mom's kind of like the mayor of the apartment building, of the entire building. And my parents live in a garden apartment. And so she does the hallways. She does the vestibule. Her windows and stuff like that. And it looks like a haunted house. When you walk into the part of the building where my parents live, the vestibule and then the hallway inside and the stairs leading up right outside their front door, she goes nuts. I mean, she puts up things hanging from the ceiling. You know, she's got a thing that if you walk past it, it's like a monster, and it's right outside. And it's big too. I mean, it's like 2 feet, 2.5 feet tall, and it's like a monster. And, it lifts its head up off of its shoulders, like it decapitates itself, and it goes ha, 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 and the eyes light up. So that's right outside their door, and it freaks people out. There's all kinds of stuff hanging. But anyway, so I was in this aisle in this Osco, and I remember thinking to myself, like, after I'd been in the aisle for 10 minutes touching everything and making things make noise, how annoying it must have been to be working at the photo booth, the photo shop, or what do you call it, photo counter? Yeah, photo counter, which was like up 4 feet away. And if you work in like 8 hours behind the counter there, you have to hear a bunch of idiots like me going into the aisle and pressing all the crazy buttons so you hear the stupid sounds and the stupid songs, you know? So anyway, I came across Count Fartula and Fartenstein. And there is a farting witch that I don't have, Dan. And I think she's Witchy Poo, if I'm not mistaken. That's her name, even though that was the name of a witch on a TV show, a kids show, Witchy Poo. But this is the idea. It's a cute little stuffed little plush doll, and you press the button. You squeeze his finger. He vibrates because the fart is so strong. The doll actually vibrates and then says things. So let us officially kick off the early morning Halloween season. And for people waking up who are wondering, where are Count Fartula and Fartenstein? Well, here's Count Fartula for everybody.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
There you go. That's Count Fartula.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
I think that's my favorite one. Open the coffin. Let me out. And his counterpart, Fartenstein.
Wrong switch, Igor. Trick or treat.
There you go. Now imagine me pressing the squeezing these fingers like for 5.5 minutes. And laughing my ass off in the middle of the aisle at the Osco with the person that's working in the photo counter who wants to kill me. So.
Sink your teeth into that.
Right. And?
That one rattled my bolts.
It rattled his bolts. So. All right, well, there they are. Fartenstein and Count Fartula and Count Fartula. Halloween is officially upon us. Oh, you were wondering when Halloween was going to start? It starts now. So, and again, a real quick shout out to our buddy Adam Phillips, who saved Fartenstein's life. He literally brought him to life like Count Fartenstein, like Count Frankenstein. I squeezed his finger and he wouldn't fart, and I was very upset about it. Adam said, I'll take care of it. He rewired everything. Added a button, and when I press the button, now it works. So our thanks to our engineer, Adam Phillips. I'm sure he's thrilled to have done that. Proudest achievement of his career.
It's on his resume.
I fixed Count Farten, or I fixed Fartenstein. So what are they charging, Dan, if you can look it up? What are they charging for the witch that farts? I can't even remember what we paid for these things. Somebody, actually a listener sent me, I think I bought Count Fartula, and I think a listener sent me Fartenstein, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm still trying to track that down, because there is another farting witch that is not our farting witch.
Oh, it's not the same look?
No, it's much more disturbing.
Oh, All right. What, does she do more than fart? All right. Well, let's break here. We got the news coming up. And then, hey, there's a Taco Bell in Wrigleyville? Mm-mm. Not anymore. We're going to talk about that. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Triple Play Thursday. And it's 847 area code. Lisa Gerard in the storm with Havasi. I have no idea what any of that is. Hey, welcome back. How are you? It's a Thursday morning here. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And I'll be joining Steve Cochran and the gang for my weekly Thursday morning 6:20 visit. We'll preview some of the movies that are coming out and talk a little pop culture stuff. Always a lot of fun to hang out with Steve and the gang. Always look forward to my Thursday morning visits. Listen, you might want to tune in tomorrow because we'll have all of our regular Friday features straight out of context. That's when you listen to this station 24/7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, it makes you laugh. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to Nick D Show Spies. We also have You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories about dumb people doing dumb stuff. And again, you can be a part of that too. Find a link to a funny dummy story. Hey, I want to read this on the air. You will read it on the air. And you will also get some Lou Malnati pizza. So it's a win-win-win situation. So there you go. And we had a really great one last week, I have to say. A teacher in his classroom participated in the dummy story. It was very funny. So, and then, of course, Fly Jams Friday. But I'm very excited to welcome to the show tomorrow filmmaker Don Coscarelli, who is responsible for writing and directing the movie that I just showed this past Tuesday night, one of my favorite movies of all time, the horror film Phantasm, which this is the time of the year to bust out the Phantasm series and watch them. He's going to join me to talk about his new book, True Indie, which is a fantastic book about being an independent filmmaker. It gives you great stories and great advice. It also has phenomenal behind-the-scenes stories about the making of all of his movies, including Phantasm and Bubba Hotep. He's going to be in town Monday on the 8th at the Music Box Theater starting at 7:15. Will he be doing a book signing? They'll have books for sale. He'll sign them. You can meet and talk to Don Coscarelli, and then they're going to show his great movie with Bruce Campbell, Bubba Hotep. And that is Monday night at 8 o'clock at the Music Box Theater. But he'll be on with us tomorrow morning to talk about the book and much more, our good friend Don Coscarelli. So there you go. All right. So people who are familiar with the Wrigley Field area know how many changes it's gone through in just a pretty short time, Dan. You know, some pretty drastic changes in a pretty short period of time. Now, regular listeners know that I grew up six blocks away from Wrigley Field on Addison, and I used to go to Wrigley Field all the time, and I knew that neighborhood like the back of my hand, and it's changed a lot. Like, it's, you know, my parents went down there to the Wrigley Field area, and, you know, and they were stunned at how different it was. Stunned. They went down there because they wanted to go to Sports World to pick up a birthday present for me. So they went down to there and just couldn't believe the massive changes and how completely different it looks and feels than it did, especially when we were living in that area. So Wrigley Field continues to change. The Wrigley Field area continues to change. Near Wrigley Field, it's construction season again, and the neighborhood's Taco Bell is down to its last out. Oh, everybody loves the Taco Bell near Wrigley Field. Yeah. The Cubs' shorter-than-expected postseason means it's time for another newfound rite of passage near Wrigley Field. It is the off-season construction zone. Already years into a wave of real estate development, the neighborhood is about to experience more change. That includes the looming demolition of Taco Bell's 24-year home across the street from the Story Ballpark, to make way for a larger retail building. It's been there for 24 years?
I was surprised by that, too.
Wow. Wow, okay. Two hotels, a large apartment building, and several new bars and restaurants opened in the neighborhood this season. Here is a look at recently completed real estate projects in your area and ones that, like the Cubs, will have to wait until next year. You're out, Taco Bell. The Taco Bell at 1111 West Addison, known for attracting baseball fans and early morning revelers, is in its ninth inning. Northfield-based developer Elliot Berman and guaranteed rate mortgage broker Benjamin Cohen bought the property for more than $8.9 million in June of 2017 with plans to put a new three-story retail structure on the site. Taco Bell must close by the end of October, and demolition is scheduled to begin November 1st. Oh, man! Said the property's leasing broker, Mark Offit of Braden Real Estate. Planet Granite has leased the top two floors for a gym and climbing facility, and the landlord is seeking retailers to fill almost 16,000 square feet of ground floor space, just on the ground floor. We're gaining traction with retailers who want to take advantage of the foot traffic around Wrigley, Offit said. All this development is going to make Wrigleyville a year-round destination. Also new for the 2018 season, almost 200 hotel rooms. That includes the 173-room Hotel Zachary, which opened in March at 3630 North Clark, across from the ballpark. The hotel was developed by Hickory Street Capital, the real estate investment arm of the Ricketts family, which owns the Cubs. The seven-story building includes several restaurants, including Big Star, Smoke Daddy, and Matthias Merge's Mordecai. The hotel building was part of the Ricketts family's approximately $1 billion investment in upgrades to the ballpark and developments alongside it. The project has created a new plaza, team offices, and retail alongside Wrigley Field. South of the ballpark at 3475 North Clark, The 21-room boutique Wheelhouse Hotel opened on September 1st. The developer, Betterman Lodging, said a previously planned second phase of construction for an adjacent lot has been called off. Instead, the space will be used as a patio for the Union Full Board Restaurant. Betterman Lodging co-owner Robbie Baum told the Tribune in August. And in September, residents moved into Addison and Clark, a mixed-use... Well, that's an original name. Addison and Clark, a mixed-use building that replaced a row of low-slung brick buildings across from Wrigley. Built by M&R Development and Buxbaum Retail Properties, the property includes 148 apartments and about 150,000 square feet of retail and entertainment space. Tenants are set to open in late 2018, and in 2019 will include CMX Cinema Movie Theater. Oh, my God, they're putting a movie theater in there? A Lucky Strike bowling alley and a live music venue, a Harley-Davidson motorcycle showroom, and craft beer chain Beerhead Beer Bar and Eatery. That's insane! Apart from the pending redevelopment of the Taco Bell site, Taraco Real Estate plans to replace the longtime Louis Auto Repair building at 1035 West Addison with a two-story retail building. A venture of Taraco and Mark Realty. They paid $5.8 million for the property in June of 2017, according to Cook County Property Records. Less than a half mile south of there, Blitz Lake Partners plan an eight-story, 140-unit apartment building at 3300 North Clark. That's really crazy. I remember when there was a Franksville on the corner of Addison and Clark. Dan, you're too young to remember the Franksville.
I am.
That eventually became McDonald's. But that spot where it's now the hotel and the restaurant and all that stuff, that used to be Franksville. We'd go there and get like a foot-long hot dog before the game or a corn dog. So that was there. And Yum Yum Donuts. Yum Yum Donuts was like right where where now it's Gallagher Village or whatever the hell it's called.
Gallagher Way, but yeah, might as well be a village.
That's where you go and you get to see people smash watermelons with sledgehammers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then just down the block is a Gallagher Two Way guy who looks a lot
run by his brother. So, now Dan, do you have any fond memories of going to that Taco Bell?
I do because one of the guys I went to high school with used to run it, so we got to park there every once in a while for free.
Is that right?
Yeah, I used to help with the parking there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we were pretty happy about it.
That's a good inn, man. Yep. That's a good inn to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know? The last time I was at Wrigley, I haven't been to a game in a very long time. But the last time I was at Wrigley was for Pearl Jam, and the last time I was in Wrigleyville was for Buffalo Tom when they played the Metro. And I just am astonished by how different it is.
It is shocking. Yeah.
And how quickly all these things are happening.
Right.
But I love that Taco Bell. It was a great Taco Bell, and it was one of those deals where I would usually go there after a game because I would probably have a bunch of beers in me and would be craving Taco Bell, or if I were in that area late at night, I would go to that Taco Bell.
Sure.
So. But it's gone. All gone. Got no room for Franksville or Taco Bell anymore. Well, Franksville's been gone for many, many, many years. Franksville, we're going back. Like I think Franksville was probably gone in the 80s, I would guess. It was still there in 84. I think it was still there in 84. Can you check, Dan? Because is the Franksville still at Addison and Harlem, right?
Yes, that one is still in operation.
That's cool. I love Franksville. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, that was my old neighborhood. I grew up in Lakeview, long before it was ever dubbed Wrigleyville. It became Wrigleyville many years after I moved away. So, but yeah, Franksville was one of my favorite places to go. I love that place. Even you know, when it wasn't baseball season, Franksville was always a very, very cool place to go get some hot dogs and stuff. So. Anyway, things are changing. We got to roll with the changes, man. You know, you listen to REM or REM, REO. I wish REM had recorded that song. So, are we finding anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's on one of those board posts, so I'm trying to go through each one.
All right, well, let's
stay tuned, everybody.
All right, stay tuned. We'll find out about that. So, man, lots of things changing in that neighborhood, really. And as someone, like I said, who grew up in that neighborhood and has seen how things have changed over many, many, many years, but how things have changed so drastically, so quickly over the past few. Crazy. All right. Play Thursday concludes right here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 847 area code requesting Lisa Gerrard and Patrick Cassidy with Abwoon, which is Our Father. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and coming up, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. So stay tuned for that. Dan, have we found out the mystery of when Franksville closed down?
We are still searching. Unfortunately, the Franksville website itself does not have the information, though their drive-thru is open to 1 a.m. daily. So
at Addison and Harlan.
At Addison and Harlan.
And that's the only location, correct?
That is the only current open location. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you've been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
The place is great.
It's right by my doctor's office, so I feel a little guilty going there after I had my cholesterol checked, but, whatever.
No, I used to love that place. They were known for their footlong. The footlong hot dog was like one of the big things they had there. And I remember corn dogs. I used to eat a lot of corn dogs from there as well. But yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think they were still open in 84 when the Cubs had the run in 84. I'm pretty sure that it was still there. I think that the McDonald's might have, because also they had the run in 89. The Cubs had the run in 89 as well. And I'm trying to remember if that was McDonald's at that point. At that point, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. But all right, we'll keep researching that. Hey, Dan, you ever wonder what causes hiccups?
Sure.
Well, the cause of hiccups depends on whom you ask. The ancient Greek physician Galen thought hiccups were violent emotions erupting from the body, while others thought they were a sign of liver inflammation. Today, evidence points to spasms in the diaphragm, the large muscle between the chest and abdomen that aids airflow during breathing. The involuntary contraction can be brought on by a number of things that might irritate the nerves that control the movement of the muscle. A full stomach, heavy boozing, rapid shifts in temperature either inside or outside of the stomach, and certain emotions like shock or excitement are all common culprits. No matter the cause, the result is the same. Diaphragm spasms and causes... They cause us a quick breath. The sudden rush of air causes the flap that protects the space between the vocal cords to shut and interrupt the breathing when you make that familiar hic sound. The best cure for hiccups also depends on the person you ask. Now, Dandy, did you ever... Do you have a cure for hiccups?
I do not. I've been told you try to swallow air with your tongue pressed up against the roof of your mouth.
Uh-huh.
You drink a lot of water. And you try to make yourself belch.
Try to make yourself belch.
Right.
I guess that might be something. I mean, as somebody who bartended for a while and drank for a while, I am familiar with hiccups. And I used to, they would do, somebody said a spoonful of sugar would do it. A spoonful of sugar. And that would work, I think. I think that worked several times.
Isn't that for the medicine?
Yeah, it makes the medicine go down. Yeah. Well, that's because you can go back to drinking after you finish it. The one that works for me and that I would recommend that I would recommend to people who were at the bar going was I would tell them to either drink water, they bend their neck over and drink water from the other side of the glass. So tip it instead of like tipping it this way. Well, it's good that I'm doing something visual on a radio show. That makes a lot of sense. But you would bend your head over and so basically the water, instead of coming in the direction of the bottom of your mouth and your tongue, would come in the top of your mouth and it would go in that way. So it's almost like you're drinking upside down.
Okay.
And that works. The whole holding your breath thing. You know what Scott Martin used to do? Scott Martin, who, by the way, who owns Simon's. People would be like hiccuping, and he would go, you want a cure for the hiccups? Okay. And then he would like stare at them, and he would stare at them and say, okay, don't hiccup right now. Hiccup right now. And he would like look at them, and then they eventually, it would stop for some reason. I don't know how he did it.
Huh.
It was like a thing where he was messing with people's heads. I'm not sure how it worked or if it worked. But the drinking upside down or backwards, that's the one. The other one that I would do is drink as much water as you can without breathing. Just drink until you can't drink anymore, and then drink more and drink more and drink more until you are completely, you can't take it anymore. Like, you have to breathe. So you're basically holding your breath and drinking water at the same time. That works all the time. Just
good to
keep
know.
Drinking, and if you think you can't drink anymore, you're gonna, your lungs are gonna explode. Drink more, and if you think you can't drink anymore, drink more. Just do not stop drinking the water, and that works a lot of times. So, that's just a little advice from your old pal, Uncle Nick.
Wow. That was the reason for the plaque.
That's right.
There.
That's exactly
Tom
right.
Tom Manley had the hiccups one day.
I told people how
he
to
stopped get. Stopped in the office. He said, right. "Hey, man,
thank you for telling me how to get rid of the hiccups. You're on the Walk of Fame now. Thank you. I appreciate that. The best cure for depends on the person you ask. All cures are based on one of two principles. One type works its magic by overwhelming the vagus nerve with another sensation. The vagus nerve is a cranial nerve that innervates the stomach and conveys sensory information about the body's organs to the brain. When distracted by overwhelming information of another sort, it basically tells the brain that something more important has come up and the hiccuping probably should be stopped. The other method of curing the hiccups is to interfere with the breathing, increasing the amount of carbon dioxide in the blood and causing the body to focus on getting rid of the CO2 and not making hiccups anymore. So there you go. Violent spasms. So, all right, let's take a break. We're coming up here on the news, and there you go. And that's what's next.